When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Oh, hey, is this live? What? Am I on the radio now? Hi, everybody. It's Tom. It's Tom. Where is he? He's not in New Jersey. He's in a different country. Look at the map. Which one? Guess. You'll never guess which one. I'll give you a hint. It's the one that's above the United States. Still in Toronto. Still doing it. Tom Ronto, week two. Best show in exile. We're trapped. We're doing what we can. We'll be back. Not soon, but we'll be back. Yeah, you know that music. Sure, it doesn't sound as good as it usually sounds every week, but look, I can't help this stuff. And it certainly doesn't help matters that I'm doing this show from a dining room table. Not in the usual studio. No, my studio is now overrun by Dudio and Mike, and they're doing whatever they want. God knows what food they're going to order tonight when they do the show. I'm glad I'm just not there to have to throw the garbage away. And I think Pat is on assignment this week from what I'm told, but who even knows? He could be there. He probably just might not want to talk to me. I don't know. I can't see what they're doing there. I don't trust any of them. I don't trust Mike as far as I could throw him these days. He's got this dumb calendar. I'm not talking about the calendar anymore. I hope he doesn't sell another one of them. Hope they rot, Mike. Hope you watch those things decay when you go and you throw out newspapers from an old garage that's fallen apart. And you wonder, how did somebody get all these newspapers? I hope 60 years from now, it's some of your calendars. Over at apmike.bandcamp.com. I hope people... No, Mike, you know him. This is... Mike, it's called advertising. I'm tricking the kids into thinking, oh, I'm not doing this. Hey, everybody, it's the best show, and we're going to hear a song from our friend Kurt Vile after the theme, because I have no control over the things that I usually have control over. So I have to trust Jason. Who knows? He might play some dumb 38 special record that he wants to hear. I told him to play Kurt Vile. If he listens to me, we're going to hear the theme, and then we'll hear something from the new Kurt Vile record. So it's the best show. We have Mark Proksh coming up later. Mark Proksh is here. Mark Proksh, you know him. He's one of the funniest guys going. So we'll get ready for that. But now we'll listen to the theme. Play the theme, Jason, would you?
Ugh.
All right. Hey, why is that feeding back? Fix that. Fix that. I heard my thing back at me. Am I live? Oh. Hey, everybody. What if I was just like a complete phony? I'm like, you hear me yelling at Dudio and I'm just like, wait, this is live? Oh, hi, everybody. That's how people in movies get busted. They throw the mic on and they don't know. Boy, that wouldn't apply to anything anymore now. Or if somebody just said, somebody just called someone names into a microphone, they'd get fired. That's over. So anyway, guys, hi, it's me, Tom. It's the best show. What's up? Here, best show in exile. Tom Ronto, doing it here. Tom Horton, right? What else? The TS dot, call it, right? Look out and see the TS tower, not the CN tower. Okay, that's when we're running out. That's getting a little thin soup right off the bat. Oh, boy, what happened? Hey, what did we just hear? Kurt Vile from his new album, Bottle It In. That's a song called Bass Ackwards. So good. Hey, Jason, are you there?
I am here.
Okay. Glad to know. Is Mike there?
Mike is, yeah. He yelled at me earlier for being a little late and leaving him in the cold.
Yeah, you left him in the cold.
I know.
All right, Mike, you warmed up now, Mike?
He said, yeah, he's good.
You run your hands under some hot water? What food are you going to order?
He said he took a hot shower.
He's going to take a hot shower.
Yeah.
Oh, great. That's, by all means, take a hot shower.
You don't mind him showering over here now,
do you? I'm all for it. Take a hot shower. Okay. I don't care.
Take the shower, Mike.
Yeah. Why don't you take that Elio's pizza that's in the freezer in the shower with you? Soften it up. Eat some wet pizza. Right? Wet. Oof. Yeah. So, Jason, you hear a line in that Kurt Vile song?
I did.
Yeah, that's the whole thing. It's about the kid. It's about me.
Is the whole song about you?
Yeah. No, yeah. The whole song. It's a 9-minute song. He's not going to write a 9-minute song about me.
You deserve it.
Part of it. Well, thank you. You're right. How dare I yell at you? You're right. I do deserve it. What if I was that... Could that completely vain where I just, well, that is true. I guess I do deserve a 9-minute song. That is a fair statement. No, that part where he says he's on the radio with a friend of his. And then he says what did he say it was? Go back and play a minute and a half into the song.
Minute and a half in. Hold on.
You better get this right.
Oh, God. Okay, here we go.
Stop.
For because it wasn't all burning feeling in my chest to fill the void of a long night unwatched by
the sun bit.
Until the morn buried deep within the psyche of my soul.
Nope.
I was standing down.
Here.
But I was
nope.
Also on the run.
Nope.
My mind.
Nope.
Should I go back?
Let's see what happens here. Come on. See what happens. Oh, if you don't get it right.
I was on the radio talking with a friend of mine. There was a no format because, well, we like it like that. He was out of his mind, and I was way out of mine. Then everything went backwards with words coming out bass backwards. And I appreciate him to the utmost degree.
Yeah, what are you guys going to do? Look, do I have much in life? No, I don't. Have I ever been nominated for anything? No, never. Not even close. Never come close. The only award show I've ever been at was the Edgar Awards, which is the Mystery Awards, you know, as everyone knows, held in Grand Central Station, I think it might have been, and the hotel ballroom next to Grand Central Station. And hosted by Al Roker. He was so happy to be there. He really needed the $9,000 they gave him, I guess, to come to the ballroom. And he's, I'm a big fan of mysteries. Sure you are. This is, and here's the mystery of you paying for some plane tickets for like for three first class tickets. That mystery, case closed. Then they were like, we have a special message for all you people. And it was not a video message, audio message from Angela Lansbury. Oh, I'm so sorry I'm not there. I wish I could be there. Well, you could have been here then. I don't have to tell you, you knew when this thing was. You didn't know when the Edgar Awards were. You're probably upstairs in the hotel. You sent a MP3 down, like Angela Lansbury setting up GarageBand. Record, knocks out a quick track, kicks it down, drop boxes it down. Is that file too large? Let me send space that, honey. So then she, I feel like Robin Williams all of a sudden, like I'm just going way too fast with the show. I'm peaking way too early, bouncing from thing to thing. Oh, I'm going, oh, it's like, I read that Robin Williams book, fun thing about him was that he was not, he smelled a lot apparently in the book, and that's something people had a problem with. He was not super into showers. But look, he was Mork for Mork. What am I going to do? What's he going to do? But look, I read good books. I read the Robin Williams book. I'm currently on page 55 of this 2001 A Space Odyssey book for the last 2.5 months. Apparently I'm on my own reading odyssey, and it's taking as long as it did for that ship to make it to Venus or wherever it was going. I, backing it up, yeah, I never won a thing. Never been nominated for a thing. That's fine. I don't want no award. What am I going to do with it? Stare at it all day? Well, I would, but I don't want it. I didn't win an Edgar. Monk didn't win an Edgar when I was and I say, you know who won? Law and Order for mystery television show. Mystery? People get killed on it. And the cops do, like, procedural work on it and caught the person and convicted them. There's no mystery. We're doing ice bullets on Monk. We got hamburgers that were all sorts of mystery stuff. You should have been there. It's a pretty sweet show, and it runs on an endless loop on some channel now, I'm told, because now a lot of relatives are telling me they watch Monk again, and they love that episode. We worked for 2 months on a plot, and they're like, that's the one when he walks into the spider web. We're trying to figure the mystery out of the thing. That's when he gets locked in the airplane bathroom. Yeah, those are the easy things to come up with. The part like that, when that's the one we spilled juice on his pants. Yeah, no, that is the one where he did spill juice on his pants. I remember we thought of that in 90 seconds and then put that in the episode. Well, that's when we spilled cranberry juice on his pants, not apple juice. Yep, that's right. So, they were nominated for Monk, and the best part of the award show was that there was all these mystery authors there. So they would do this thing where they would dump the new mystery book in the lobby. They'd be like, all the attendees get to go to the tables and get free mystery books. And then the 1 year I was there, I'm telling you, if this was if people hadn't eaten for a month and this was food, they would not have moved as quickly as these animals grabbed the free books at this thing. And I was no different. Books I never read. There, I do remember losing to Law and Order and then waiting at the table for them to finally say, yeah, you guys can check the books out now. Everyone shoving up, grabbing books. I grabbed anything I could get my hands on. I was walking down like like 43rd Street with two 50-pound bags full of mystery novels that I never read one of and ended up just giving away. I don't know what I did with them. But look, it's the best show, everybody. Why am I talking like this? Because I'm in Canada. I'm working on a job. We talked about it last week. I said it was the thing, What We Do in the Shadows is a TV thing now, and I'm working on it, and it's fun, and that's what I'm doing here. And I miss everybody back in New Jersey. I miss everybody. You know who I miss. I miss everybody. But I'll be home sooner than later. I miss you, Mike. Turn the thing up.
He didn't say anything. He just grumbled a little.
Of course not. Did you order food, Jason? I miss you too, Jason.
I miss you too. I didn't order food because I'm in here controlling it. So maybe in a bit I'll go check on Mike and see if I need to order him some food.
Sure, exactly. And one thing we can talk about tonight is heroes. I was thinking about heroes, the whole idea of heroes, right? And people got these heroes, right? So if you want to call and talk about that,
201-332.
332-3484. I can do it.
It sounded like you didn't know it.
No, I do know it. It's 201-3.
Good.
3-2.
Yep.
3-4-8-4.
That's it.
There's nothing like making something sound like more of a challenge so that somebody's excited that you do it correctly. You get some patted on the back for basic knowledge. So people can call that number and talk. And Mike, are people calling?
Yeah, we've got some.
Give me a call, okay. Dudio. Let's warm it up.
Here we go. We're going line one.
Hello. Hi, welcome to the best show. To whom am I speaking?
This is Chris calling from Philadelphia.
Chris from Philadelphia. What's up?
Yeah, not much. I wouldn't say I'm necessarily from Philadelphia yet. I just moved here.
Okay, where were you? Where are you from?
I'm from like the New York area, suburbs. I just graduated though, so this is my first place living alone.
And what's the New York area? What's that mean?
That's Westchester for me.
So you're from Long Island?
Yeah, the opposite but the same.
Yeah, you can say it. Be proud of it. You got so much to be proud of out there.
No,
Billy
I'm
Joel,
from, honestly,
right?
I'm
Opie
from,
and Anthony. so many great heroes from Long Island. Bill Belichick, is he from Long Island? He seems like he was from Long Island.
Yeah, I wouldn't know.
What's that?
I said I wouldn't know. I'm from Westchester.
Well, who's from Westchester? Baldwin's?
Nick Kroll? He's from Westchester.
Nick Kroll.
Ben Schwartz is like from Nick Westchester. Kroll. Yeah, he's good. Just saw Big Mac the other day.
Real who's who out there? Real, get a real comedy Bang Bang East going out there, right?
Yeah. Someday.
You listen to that one podcast. Hey, Chris, you listen to that one podcast where those guys talk about food all the time. What is that? Hamburger Men?
Yeah,
I tried listening to that thing. They talk for 45 minutes about Burger King onion rings. Then I go look at their Patreon. Because, look, the best show is a Patreon. It's Patreon. It's patreon.com/thebestshow. And we do well, and we give things to all the people who contribute. They get free audio, and we're sending things out for them. We're sending some patches out soon for people who had given during earlier in the year. But I look at this Hamburger Men thing, right? I mean, these guys I got the onion rings. They were crispy. And the other guy's like, good, mine were cold. And it's like, hey, look, these guys are backing up a – it's like a snow plow. They're snow plowing piles of money. And then they're like, today we're going to talk about the fish fillet sandwich at McDonald's. It's a 6-part series.
It's groundbreaking stuff.
What am I doing? What am I doing wrong, Chris? I'm in a different country trying to make money now. What did I do wrong, Chris? I literally have to become an international traveler to make a living at this point in my life. What did I do wrong? Help me. Right?
Well, I wanted to say,
you're talking about heroes. I mean, talk about heroes. When I was a kid, you know who I want? It was my favorite. You know, it was my favorite, Chris, when I was a kid.
Who?
Thank you, first of all. That's Bill Bradley. You know who Bill Bradley is?
I actually don't.
Okay, well, he played for the New York Knicks, right? He played for Princeton, which is where I always wanted to go to school, and I didn't go to school there. I didn't go. It didn't happen. I went to a community college. It was just the same. Sure, you go. A couple differences between Princeton, like they lock up at 7 at the community college. You have to leave at a point. And if you want to eat, there's a Quick Check across the street. If you want something to eat. And then the teachers, you'd be in the classroom and then somebody would walk in and you weren't sure if it was a teacher, an adult student, or a custodian. You couldn't tell who it was. And the only way to tell was if they sit at the desk, it's the teacher, if they walk and grab a chair behind you, a desk behind you, and then don't stop talking. It's an adult student. They love talking, these adult students. Holy moly. And then if they walk and they grab the garbage can, then it's a custodian. It's the only way to tell. So, yeah, it was close to Princeton. It was Princeton-esque, I could say. I didn't go there. Bill Bradley went there, cleaned up, then goes and plays. He goes and becomes like a Rhodes Scholar. Then he goes and plays for the Knicks, right? And wins championships with them. Then he goes and becomes a senator for the state of New Jersey. That's who I wanted to be when I was a little kid. But here I am in a different country. And my main responsibility now is hawking these calendars for Mike. apmike.bandcamp.com. Did you buy yours yet, Chris?
I actually haven't. I'm about to.
What are you waiting for? I'm going to say this also. If they think they're going to wait and do the waiting game with Mike and run this thing out to where they got to, where he's going to start slashing prices because it's getting closer to 2019, it's not happening. Right, Mike? They become collector's items. Out of print. Then we double the price on those things. Right?
January 2nd, the price doubles?
January 2nd, the price doubles because I will write out of every 10 calendars, I'll write a famous person's phone number in one of them. So you have a 1 in 10 shot of buying a calendar with some famous person's phone number. And I won't say who it is, but...
Is it AP Mike?
Say, what's that?
Is it AP Mike?
No, I'm not giving his number out. I don't want to talk to that guy. No. Let's just say talk to, I don't know, who would it be? Who should I give the number out for?
I don't know.
What do you want to talk about? Why? What?
Well, I want, because you just moved to Toronto. I just moved to Philadelphia.
I didn't move here. I didn't move here. I'm here.
Yeah.
I'm working here.
Yeah.
You moved to Philadelphia.
That's true.
Did you bring all your stuff with you?
Not immediately. I was living on a mattress on the floor for quite a while.
That's not what I asked. Do you have all your stuff with you now?
I have the majority of my stuff, yeah.
Yeah, then you moved to Philadelphia. I have... a couple garbage bags full of clothes with me.
That was most of my stuff.
I did not move here. So, yeah. Well, what do you want? You think we're alike? Is that what this is?
No.
Like a bad action movie? You and me, we're not so different.
I play by the book, huh? Right. My girlfriend's Poland.
Dump him.
Dude is dumped.
Any other calls?
We do have quite a few calls. We also have line five, if you'd like to go
okay,
to line
let's,
five.
Okay, let's... I'm not going to say which line to go to, but you know which line to go to.
Okay. Line five.
Best show, hello.
Hey. Hey, Tom, it's your third cousin, Troy.
Who is this?
Your third cousin, Troy.
Oh, Troy.
What kind of reaction is that? I thought we were total bros.
We're not total bro. I don't know why would look.
We have fun sometimes.
Sometimes we had fun in the past. We've had fun.
Did I do something Maybe, to annoy you?
Well, you know what, Troy? I mean, we're not the tightest, and a lot of it comes down to just, I guess, the... It's always like, and don't take this the wrong way.
Oh, no, here it comes.
There's always, like, an angle with you, Troy. You know what I mean? Like, you're never just nice to me for the sake of being nice to me.
Well, look, I wasn't born with the same, you know... To use a worn out phrase, the same silver spoon that you were born with.
Oh, okay. The same silver spoon.
My dad wasn't able to pull strings and get me into community college, okay?
Well, yeah, okay. He didn't pull strings to get me into community college. I just showed up with a check for $1,000.
You had $1,000? Must be nice.
Let's stop it, Troy. I don't know why you're making this a thing that is some sort of, like, I'm fancy. You know I'm not fancy.
I had to struggle to get into garbage man school.
You struggled to get in? Because I know you went for a while. You did not graduate, though, if I remember correctly.
No, I didn't graduate. Rub it in. See, it's starting already. I called to congratulate you on your new gig as a wholesome gesture on my part, you know, trying to reconnect with my good old third cousin, Tom. But he's shutting me down, folks.
Oh, so what are you playing to the audience now, folks?
Hey, you're hey, listeners, you're a great hero. There he is, laid out for all to see.
Troy, no, don't play to the audience. That's low.
Okay. Well. Look. I'm honest when I say I wanted to congratulate you on the gig. It's. I'll tell you, it's the most exciting thing to happen to our family since your brother Lon got stuck in that air conditioning vent when he was sneaking into Linda Lavin's dressing room, and it was all over the local news for like weeks.
Yes, that was when she was at that piano bar.
Exactly. Yeah. It was
she
sick
was
of him to do
her
it.
Her torch set.
Yes, yeah, and then he went in there. She wasn't in there, of course, and he tried to torch the dressing room.
He didn't know that torch was, like, the type of song?
No, he had no idea. He thought it was an invitation for arson. That's an album title.
What's that? Invitation to arson?
An invitation to arson. It sounds like it could be, like, from, like Accept or, I don't know, Vandenberg, maybe?
Well, geez, if Accept are putting new material together, maybe they can – an invitation to arson.
Well, I'm writing it down. I don't know if you are. I'll get to it before you do, and then you'll be crying sour grapes when my album comes out and it's called An Invitation to Arson, and you have to call the pressing plant. Sorry, I'm so upset about this. You have to call the pressing plant. I'm just crying because I'm so distraught.
Well, I'm a little freaked out, and that's why I sound this way, because I know these guys at the pressing plant work very hard, and when the record is in production, if someone called and said, stop the presses, that's just the worst thing they've ever heard.
It sure is, Tom.
Yeah, Troy.
Hey, I have a question.
Sure, what's that, Troy?
What do they eat up there? There's no way they have pizza.
The pizza's not good up here, Troy. I did
but
have good
have
pizza
it?
On... What's that?
They have it?
They have pizza. You thought they had no pizza up here?
I didn't think they had it up there. I think they knew about it.
Like they were waiting for someone to bring it?
Yes.
No, it's all over the place. It's maybe not their specialty here.
Oh, it stinks.
Might not be their strong suit. It's like, it's kind of like, do you remember when you'd be in the cafeteria and there would be pizza day? And then the pizza would be like very doughy and...
You'd be excited about it because it's pizza day. And then it was a disappointment because it was spongy.
Yes, that's kind of what it's like.
Well, that's a bit of a disappointment.
I went to a pizza. I went past a pizza place because I had not eaten dinner and I wanted to get one slice of pizza for dinner. And it was almost a 10-minute conversation.
Because
I was just like, I said to the guy, I just want a piece of pizza with no meat on it. And he said, well, we close in a half hour. And I was like, well, I asked. And then he said, then he pointed at pepperoni pizza. He's like, well, that one's got meat on it. And I'm like, oh, yes, no, I'm familiar with those round circles. I know those are meat. I don't want that. I want one that doesn't have. It was very productive, but it was worth it to have a slice of pizza that was airport quality.
Well, you live and learn, I guess. Hey, have you met any big stars yet, like, I don't know, Drake or Joni Mitchell or any of the kids from the hallway?
No, I have not met any of the kids from the hallway or Drake or Joni Mitchell. No, none of the Canadian luminaries.
Okay. Hey, is Pete Davidson from up there?
No, Pete Davidson's from New York.
Oh, yeah, excuse me. One more.
Why do you ask?
Oh, well, you know, I don't know if you're following American entertainment news at all, but some heavy drama going on. He and Ariana broke up already. You know, it was like, I think they were engaged for maybe 4 months or so.
I heard, yeah.
So now, you know, I was wondering, like, how, you know, I'm not sure if you saw the first episode of SNL on this season, or the first two. He's prominent in all of them, and now I'm wondering if, you know, if this is going to affect his prominence, his placements.
Yeah, he's pretty dominant, and I hope it doesn't throw him off his rhythm.
Well, you know, now that you bring that up, you know, it's what I've noticed about him is he seems to really pride himself on just kind of winging it, you know?
Yeah, he does. It seems to be he thinks it's an attribute.
Exactly. And it got me wondering, what might a conversation sound like between him and someone who really does kind of pride themselves on putting in the time, even if it doesn't pay off, and even if what they do is you wouldn't call it high art or anything. Like, what a conversation might sound like. Like, what if he was talking to, I don't know, someone like Gene Simmons. You know how Gene Simmons is always doing something? He's always got some project going on.
Yes. He's always got a project going on, and he's always very methodical and
exactly
measured about each one.
Yeah. Like, what would that sound like? Like, I love when you do your voices.
Oh, well, that's sweet of you, Troy. I appreciate that.
What if you did Pete Davidson? I don't know if you've ever done Pete Davidson or not, but I'll be Gene Simmons.
I'll try. You'll do Gene Simmons.
I'll do Gene, and I'll start. Okay, so it'll be something like, look, Pete, I know funny, and you are funny, but you really need to hone your craft, just like I hone my crafts. Whether they be songwriting, making quick perfunctory love, or playing my axe bass like I'm effing it. What is your process? And like, what's a typical work week for Pete Davidson at SNL?
Well, I go up to SNL. I gotta figure. I go up there and I'm just like,
Everybody else is working all night on, like, Tuesdays, the writing day, right? And I show up, and everybody else is writing all night, and I just show up for, like, 15 minutes, and I'm just like, maybe I get on the air and do, like, a thing on update? I mean, I'm an idiot.
Put Tom back on.
Oh, it's me. It's me, Troy.
Wait, that was you? That wasn't you. Well,
you thought Pete Davidson was here?
I thought he was there.
No, that was not Pete Davidson. That was me.
You are good.
Well, thank you.
Oh, my God. Stop scaring me.
I mean, because, you know, I do the thing. I just show up and I just do that. I'm an idiot. So, Troy, what do you want, Troy?
I just want to talk to my good bud.
No, I don't buy this. I don't buy this. What is it?
All right. Look.
Yeah, here we go. Okay, what is it?
You're going to be super excited to be involved in this venture. I tell you right now, and you're going to regret treating me with a little sass that you just treated me with.
Okay.
All right,
how,
look.
How so?
It's no secret that Neil Peart is retiring from drumming, okay? And I was listening to Eddie Trunk the other day, and in between talking about how Paul Stanley can't sing anymore and what good friends he is with the guys from Britney Fox to the point of texting like every half hour, Eddie said that Geddy Lee and Alex Lifeforce still want to keep playing, and they don't know what to do.
Okay.
So I need you to get me an audition with those guys, like, quick.
Wait, what to get you an audition with?
With Geddy Lee and Alex Lifeforce.
Well, it's not Alex. First of all, his name's not Alex Lifeforce. It's
yes,
Alex.
He's the guitar player.
It's Lifeson, not Lifeforce. What is he in Star Wars?
Oh, I thought it was Lifeforce.
No.
Huh.
It's Alex Lifeson.
I've been calling him that for like 25, 30 years. Oh, no. That's a little embarrassing.
But you never said it. You never said it to him.
No, but I said it to friends and stuff.
Sure. Okay.
Ugh,
well.
A little embarrassing.
Okay.
Okay.
But let's get let's get to the matter. You want me
sure.
to do what now?
I want you to get me an audition with them.
To drum.
Yes, because from what Eddie said, they want to keep playing. And I assume they want to keep Rush going. And, you know. As you know, I don't want to toot my own horn, but as you know, I have been the Slim Jim fan in Rumble in Newbridge, New Jersey's best Stray Cat tribute band for the last 26 years.
That is true. But the gigs seem like they're getting fewer and further between.
Well, you know, Ed, allow me to vent for a second on that. I'll tell you, I wish our competition, Sexy in 72, New Jersey's oldest Stray Cats tribute band, would move to Canada. But that's a whole other story. I wish they were out of here. They're taking our gigs for sure.
So you bill yourself as New Jersey's premier?
Best, yes.
The best,
well, premier
okay.
Is
you're New Jersey's best Stray Cats cover band.
Yes, tribute band. Okay. It's a tribute.
Tribute band, sorry. I know there is a difference there.
So
you've been drumming with New Jersey's best Stray Cats tribute band, and
yes.
You're mad at the members of, what is it, Sexy in
72.
Sexy in 72, New Jersey's oldest Stray Cats tribute band.
Yeah, they're all over 70.
Okay.
I mean, what a good, that's a cheap gimmick, right?
But they're stealing gigs from you? Is that the, like,
yes.
why do you care?
Because those are our gigs. But honestly, I won't need to worry about that once I'm in Rush. And I need you to tell the guys this, that I really do play my best on my Slim Jim Phantom kit, you know, which is of course very stripped down. It's a kick and a snare and cymbal. So you'll need to tell Geddy and Alex that that's what I'll be playing when I'm in Rush. So the songs might be a little different. Like, you know, that song Huckleberry Finn, you know, dun, 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 dun. It'll go like this. Dun, 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 dun.
Tom Sawyer, dun, 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 not Huckleberry Finn.
That would be embarrassing if I called it. It's called Tom Sawyer?
Yes.
Okay.
It's only their biggest song.
Oh, I thought their biggest song was 2112.
Okay, you're getting that wrong. It's 2112.
Okay, well, how about that song, The Spirit Inside My Radio? That would be like, you know, that would be a little different, too. It'd be like...
Uh-huh.
So that's what
you'll do if you're in Rush.
Of course. Yeah, I think it'll give it a whole new slant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, kind of like a lot of people like Rush because of the big drum set. But you're going to just take that off the table.
Going back to basics, my man.
Yeah, my man. Don't call me that. That's patronizing.
Oh, well, I'm sorry. Hey, second thing I wanted to talk to you about.
Yeah, what's that, Troy?
Am I correct that weed is going to be legal in Canada like this week?
I believe so. I believe it might even be tomorrow.
Oh, my God. That's awesome. This is great news for me because I'll tell you one thing. Needy to bring me back 8 bales next time you're in Newbridge. Cool?
No. 8 bales. Like, you mean like a hay bale?
Yeah, the approximate size of a hay bale.
I don't think you can even get it. That'd be impossibly expensive. It's still illegal in the United States, and that's a lot of it anyway. What are you going to do with it?
But you're coming back.
Well, I am coming back, but I'm not bringing you 8 bales of weed.
But, Tom, you got to do it.
No, I don't.
You really got to do it.
Why?
Tom, I'm in deep with the Kernelinos.
The Kernelinos is the crime family in Newbridge.
Oh,
yeah.
What happened? I promised I'd have 8 bales by next Monday.
Well, I don't know what to tell you. That's bad. A bad promise for you to have made.
If you don't deliver me that gunch, they're going to be fitting me for a pair of cement Uggs. I shouldn't be made fun of for liking Uggs. Oh, no.
You're allowed to like Uggs. You're allowed to like Uggs. Don't cry.
Please bring it back. Oh, no, I hear them creeping around my house.
Wait, who's
I gotta go.
Someone's
Email me about the audition tomorrow. Okay, I gotta go. Bye.
About the audition for... Hello? Jason? Is he gone?
He's gone.
Oh, well, I don't know, man. What, do you guys order food yet?
I haven't. Well, I went out. Mike was in the shower when I went out.
Okay.
So.
This shower thing is weird. I don't know what he's bringing in there. I don't know if there's any towels in there.
No, there are no towels. He said he bought some.
He said what?
He said he bought some towels.
So, yeah. So, you went to England last week.
I did.
How was that?
It was great. It was great.
What did you do?
I drank a lot of tea. I went to pubs.
We have both of those things here.
Not
also.
As good.
It's we have tea good. And pubs.
No, it's just not even close. What else? I just walked
Hold
around
on
and
a
took
second.
It all in.
The tea is so much better over there.
The tea's so much better. They do
I've
it.
I've never seen you drink tea. I've never seen you drink tea once. Now suddenly you're Mr. Tea.
I'm really no into
intended.
Tea now.
Right? You're Mr. T now. T-E-A.
Yeah, completely.
Everybody call Jason Mr. T.
Yeah.
Make
I am Mr.
Stick.
T now.
Get rid of Slaw Dog as your childhood nickname.
I'm now
Are people
Mr.
still
T.
bringing up your chicken commercial?
Yes,
that you did.
I'm getting that a lot. A lot of people are tweeting and asking if I really did the chicken sounds at the beginning.
I know, and it's a fun. I don't know why anyone would think that would be like impressive that you did like chicken sounds on a thing that
yeah.
you. Like, why would you not have done them?
I don't know if it's...
what I don't understand.
I don't know if they're impressed by it, by any means. I think it's just a, is that you? I'm not impressed.
Is that you? I'm not impressed.
Yeah, that's the feeling I get from it.
That'd be a pretty good one-man show.
It is.
Title.
Is that you? I'm not impressed.
Yeah. Jason Gore is in Is That You? I'm not impressed.
I'm not impressed. That might be the name of my show now.
And look, all you people, you say the thing, you got that Kurt Vile song with the one thing, like, oh, so he sang about you once, right? Right? Was it once? F no. Right? We don't say the real word here. It wasn't just KV. The wrong song. Ugh. Cheer up, Tom Sharpling. First of all, that he boiled me down to one, that he managed to sum me up in one, four words, two of which is my name. Cheer up. I was never so excited when I heard that. That's better than any award. Any award. Sure, when he played the song, it was him and Courtney Barnett. They played it, and Mike had to clog up the aisle right during the thing, and my moment was compromised, and I missed it, kind of, because Mike and Kurt's brother, Jello Man, had to make it about themselves. I finally get one nice thing in my life, and these two delinquents have to ruin the moment. Sure, it was it compromised? Yes. Do I regret it? Absolutely. Does it haunt me every time I think of it? Most certainly does. Do I feel like the one pure moment I was about to receive now is tainted? Mm-hmm. I do. So, but do I continue to plug Mike's calendars? I do. apmike.bandcamp.com. Buy a calendar from the guy who took my best moment away and had to, like, come down the aisle. Hey, how's it going? What's going on? Well, they're doing the song that he sings, that he just dedicated it to me, and it has the thing in the... Do you know if they have Doritos backstage? I don't know. I'm trying to hear the thing. And then I had to get up to let you sit down, so it looks like when he said the thing was dedicated to me, like I stood up as if I was like Mr. Holland's opus. All of a sudden, I'm standing up in the theater. I'm trying to just sit and hear my thing, and these two guys crowding in to get their seats. I got to get up, and right when he says my name, makes it look like I'm trying to have everybody look at me. One of the true low points of my life. Should have been one of the best moments. It's a low point now. It's actually a low point, Mike. Dude, you get Mike on Mike. I'm sorry. We gotta have this out once and for all now. This has come to the surface. Get him on mic. I can't swallow this moment anymore. You had to come down the aisle.
It wasn't intentional.
You and Jello Man. Yeah, hey, let's go. I had to get up to let you sit down. Kurt's like, yeah, this song's dedicated to Tom Sharpling. And I had to stand up to let you sit down. Made it look like I'm trying to get everybody to look at me.
You should have waved.
No, I don't want to do anything.
Wave to the crowd.
I wanted to sit anonymously.
Uh-huh.
And just feel the love. But you had to go down the...
It wasn't
You know what I'm doing, Mike, for you?
What's that?
Now I'm not going to say apmike.bandcamp.com. I'm not plugging it.
No more?
No more apmike.bandcamp.com. I'm not telling anybody about the shirts, the massive shirts, which are on every dumb reality show. I watch a magic thing in the park where they gaslighted some dude who probably is now deep in therapy because they all pretended he was invisible.
Yeah.
But thankfully, one of the people had a Massa's shirt on. Yeah.
The shirt really pops in that thing.
It does. It really shows.
I found myself really not even paying attention to what was going on, just looking at the
shirt.
No,
looks great in high def. Looks great in high def. And then in Practical Jokers, if I see Sal wearing the Massive shirt again, I'm going to vomit.
Well, he wore it for the finale. They literally
did an episode. It was a tribute to the military. Apparently, it was a tribute to the military and a dive bar in Bayonne.
Yeah.
Let's honor two. Let's honor two institutions. The U.S. Armed Forces and Mass's Tavern. Mm-hmm. You don't sound happy.
No, it's...
You better not trash my stuff while I'm not there.
I'm spreading the legend in Bayonne. You know, people ask me about the show. You know, I'll mention the radio show, you, and so on. But then I'll get right to the Impractical Jokers.
Yeah, then you get, so I'm now just in a moose boosh for your fancy Impractical Jokers story.
They're more impressed by that because of the Bayonne connection.
Of course they are. Yeah, no. Look, I would be impressed by it also. Look, look, you know I love Sal. Yeah. I'm not putting the tenderloins down.
Uh-huh.
But now you get your dumb shirt all over Impractical Jokers. Makes me sick.
You think he'll put me on the guest list? At the
For
Prudential?
What?
They're playing at the Prudential.
Oh, what did I do wrong in my life? What did I do wrong? They're playing the Prudential Center. Oh, you mean where the New Jersey Devils play hockey?
Exactly.
The Impractical Jokers are going to go up and do a I'm going to assume. Oh, that's where – oh, Mike, remember the Prudential Center? That's where we went to see Roger Waters in concert, the guy from Pink Floyd.
Yeah.
Now, Impractical Jokers are going to pack that place out also.
Why couldn't we be like the opening – the best show be the opening comedy act? Like, you know, bands, you know, have an opening band, you know.
No, I'm not going to do that. Those maniacs, they're fans. Can you imagine bombing in front of those fans? Right?
Yeah. It would be different.
Look, I love the Impractical Jokers. Fans are a couple pipe polo shirts away from not going to even get into it. So. But look. Sal will be on the show soon. Mm-hmm. I love him.
Yeah.
Sal and I were talking. You know what we're talking about the other day, Mike? Atlanta.
Oh, really?
And we were texting because Sal's like, I finally started watching it based on your recommendation. He loves it.
That's good.
What are you watching now, Mike? What are you watching these days?
You know what I'm watching, and I don't enjoy it at all. I'm just sort of in a rut. The Deuce. Have you seen that at all?
No, I can't watch it.
Oh, it's terrible. It's terrible.
Two James Francos?
Yeah, you get two James Francos.
One's too much.
Yeah. You get Maggie Gyllenhaal's like going to be the Orson Welles of porn. So it's not enough that she's involved in the porn world. It's going to be empowering for her to make the best porno that was ever made. And it's
so she's doing the Citizen Kane of
and it's based on
stag movies,
and it's based on little
you guys call them.
Little Red Riding Hood. So you can imagine how silly, ridiculous that is.
Mike, I don't want to talk about this.
Oh, it's bad. It's bad. I can't tell you how bad it is, but I can't stop watching it. I don't know. I got to break the habit somehow.
Yeah, James Franco and James Franco.
Yeah. And it basically, the way they distinguish them, I guess it's the oldest trick in the book, different haircuts, you know, and facial hair is slightly different. They both
do
have
they
mustaches.
Do that routine? Do they do that Lucy routine where they go in a mirror and mime each other's movement?
No.
The two James Francos?
No, they haven't done that. I thought that was Patty. But Patty Duke had something like that too, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. The two James Francos don't do that where they step in front of the mirror?
Yeah.
They lower down. No. Then, they scratch your head. Right?
It's coming.
They don't do that?
I'm sure they'll get to it eventually.
You know, the only good part about this is that it means if there's two James Francos in this, it means there's one movie he's not in. Mathematically, he's in one last movie.
Yeah, well, I never thought of that way. Yeah, but yeah. So maybe it is doing a service to the community.
That's maybe the dumbest thing I've ever said. I miss you, Mike.
Yeah, no, it's weird here. Yeah, it's, you know, it's just not the same.
right?
Yeah.
It's just the two of us here today, tonight.
Yeah, so. I know. You'll do anything to sell Pat out.
Yeah. But Pat couldn't make it.
He's not working hard enough by Dudio standards.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, last week, Dudio was eating crisps.
Oh,
and
yeah.
In a Lyft, right?
Yep.
You can do it here in a Lyft.
I was queuing up
different
somewhere.
Kind of Lyft, right?
They're the same.
They're the same Lyft. I don't think they are. I think one's an elevator and one's a car. I think they're very different. So, any calls? And then I'm going to bring my guest on, Mark.
Yeah, we do have some calls. You want me to pop one up?
Mark, it's called Mark.
Let's
go. Can I say it again? I'm so sorry. Proch.
No.
Proch.
There you go.
Proch. That's cool. Easy. That's the easiest thing in the world. All right, who's on? Give me a call.
Okay, we're going line three. You're on.
Hey.
Hello?
Hey, you're on the best show. Who's this?
This is Connor from Boone, North Carolina.
Connor from North Carolina. Where in North Carolina, Connor?
Boone.
What's that near?
It's near. It's like an hour and a half away from Asheville. Appalachian State, the college, that's where I go.
Oh, okay, God, Studio Country. That's where Studio grew up, out there.
Oh, yeah.
It's right? Close. It's close. Yeah, but it's my grandfather went to App State. So.
Yeah. Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
It's a good school. I enjoy it.
Studio, do you ever see the training sequence in Rocky IV? When that was the Studio's family had a gym in out there, and that's what it was based off of. You lifted a wagon and then put some bags of rice on your shoulders and ran up a hill.
It's true.
That was called CrossFit. That was their version of CrossFit.
That's incredible.
Lifted a wagon. Mm-hmm. How come these CrossFit people, they're flipping tires over? Really? That's what you guys do? Flip tractor trailer tires over? It's like the absence of a gym. It's like a Banksy gym. Banksy is like, what if I had a gym and it only had tires and some ropes in it? Not actual physical fitness equipment. Wouldn't that be a laugh? What do you, right? CrossFit, Mike? No? Mike left. So go ahead, Connor. What's going on down there in North Carolina?
Well, actually, I called to talk about the Merge Records just announced that they're going to have a festival in North Carolina, and I'm pretty excited about that for their 30th anniversary.
30th anniversary. That's right.
That's
Merge
that's
just put some good records out, bro.
I know.
New Effed Up album is good. The Swearin' album is good. I saw Swearin' on Sunday up here. They were great.
Really?
So good.
I saw, I actually saw Cave this Saturday.
Who'd you see?
I heard them on the show last, Cave. After I heard
Cave,
them on the show last
Drag
week.
City recording artists. They're great too.
In Asheville. It was terrific.
Okay. I believe
you. But yeah, I'm really excited about Merge. They're one of those record labels that they don't even have to announce a lineup or anything. I'm just, I'm buying tickets day one.
You're there. That's right. And you know, I went to see Swearin', and then I went to say hi to them afterwards. I just walked past the one security guy, and then there was a guy standing in front of like the dressing room, right?
Uh-huh.
And he's like, oh, do you have the yellow wristband? And I'm like, no, I just got the red one. He's like, well, you need the yellow one to get backstage. And then Allison from the band walks out, and she goes, oh, he's with me. And he goes, oh, well, you need the yellow wristband to get backstage. You need to talk to Clark over there. And then she goes and talks to a guy, and it takes over 5 minutes. And then the guy comes up, puts a yellow wristband on my wrist. And then the other guy looks, and he goes, okay, you can go backstage now. There were only four of us. Me, Allison, the guy who put the wristband on my wrist, and the guy who let me past. It was the most fixable thing ever that this guy, they were doing so by the book.
Yeah.
Tighten it up, Canada. Two problems up here. I'm going to say this right now. Two problems in Toronto. The wristband situation And the other thing I'm sick of is the machine. You go to buy food and they get, you got the machine for your credit card? And you can't just take my, I trust you with my credit card. I trust you. You're going to go back around the corner and run it.
Yeah. That's typical.
The machine. They bring the machine over. Suddenly I work here. Might as well give myself a tip.
Yeah.
I'm doing the processing on this. It's like self-checkout.
Yeah, that's...
You want me to go back and cook my own food next? Right?
Yeah.
All right, Connor. So you're excited about the merge thing. Who's your dream band on that? Who are you excited to see?
I'm really hoping for Mike Kroll, because he's a guy that is on the label that hasn't really come out here yet. And I've been listening to him for a very long time, and I'm a big fan. So I hope that he's on the lineup.
Who knows? I don't know the lineup. Who knows? I hope he's on it also.
Well, like, I think they did a festival 5 years ago for their 25th anniversary, and that lineup's incredible. So, like,
son, they've done one every 5 years, son.
Yeah. Well, I'm young, so.
Yeah. Okay. Well, hey, have you ever heard of the Beatles?
Yes, I've heard of the Beatles.
Yeah, they're before my time too. I learned about them.
Yeah.
Learn.
Well, I mean, I know about all these bands. I've never been old enough to experience, like, going to a festival.
Sure. Okay. Look.
So that's what I'm excited about.
All right. Hopefully I see you there, buddy. We hang out the whole weekend. Me and Connor.
For sure.
I'll maybe we'll get, do a three-legged race together. We'll run a three-legged race against, right? We'll run against effed up in a three-legged race.
That sounds terrific.
Right? Be Damien and Dan Behar against me and Connor.
Sounds good.
In the blueberry pie eating contest.
Ooh.
Right? Also, the thing I want to say here about Canada. You watch TV here on the weekend? They run a movie. It's like they buy the rights to one movie and they run it on an endless loop. You know how many times I saw X-Men First Class this past weekend?
I can't imagine. Too many.
I think I saw it more than some people who were in X-Men First Class. And I kept fading in and out of sleep, so I was like half dreaming the movie. And then I think I saw the whole thing three times over the course of 40 hours.
That's how they do it on cruise ships. They just play the same movies over and over.
Well, why are you watching television on a cruise ship is what that's the next question you got to ask. Are you crowding in your cabin? Point. No. I just got to see what happens in Me and You and Dupree.
I remember I went on a...
You and Me and Dupree. I got to see how this ends. Hey, you don't want to come out on the look at the ocean? No, I just want to see what happens if Dupree, if they patch it back up with Dupree again.
The movie that I ended up watching more than once when I went on a cruise ship was The Blob, the original Blob from, like, the 60s, not the remake. So that's kind of cool.
Some top-notch programming going on that cruise ship. Somebody just brings a VHS tape of The Blob, and they just probably – did you watch it rewind? Did they rewind it after the movie ended?
No, they just play it on, like – a 12-hour loop, like the same stuff. So if you watch,
it's like some low-grade dub of The Blob that they put on the VHS tape four times.
Yeah.
The Blob. You really booted that cruise ship, buddy. What did you do? What else did you not do on it?
Well, I did a bunch of stuff on the cruise, but like when I went home, like when I went to the cabin or whatever at night, that's what I did while I like was trying to sleep.
When you went to the cabin, but during the day you were seeing, you were doing on the water slide, right?
I was doing all the cool stuff, yeah.
Like what else? What else did you do?
I mean, you go to like
limbo contest.
Limbo contest, yeah.
You didn't do a limbo contest, you liar.
I didn't. You're right.
Of course you didn't. Dump this dude. Yeah. Dump him. He's a liar. We don't let liars on the show.
He is dumped.
He is dumped. The machine, I'm telling you. I run another one of these machines. So, I'll bring my guest on in a matter of seconds, but do want to just say It was very exciting to see the Alec Baldwin talk show has lit up America, and people cannot get enough of the inquisitive mind of when Alec Baldwin, I wonder if he sometimes doesn't know he's not in the makeup. He seems to just act like he's in Trump makeup all the time now. That is the worst Trump impression. Oh my God. And he like is arrogant about how, cause it's just more popular than like a good one that Anthony Tamanek does. There's some other guy that does one and it's a, yeah. Yeah, he does a good one. His impression's getting further out. Like it's blending with his, it's blending into his, impression of, guy who does, what's the guy, that did I Lost My Heart in San Francisco? It's blending into his impression. Tony Bennett. He's just blurring the impressions together now. It's just, you know what? I'm bringing my guest on. Mike, bring him in. Hey, Mike. I love making him walk all the way across. Mike. Mike. Am I on? Am I on the air? Mike? Oh, there you are. Okay. Why wouldn't you say anything? Well, you are just in the penalty box. I'm throwing you in the penalty box. And you're going right in with them, dude, with that phony laugh. Both of you. Penalty box for both of you. You know what that means. One puts your head in the washer, put the other one puts it in the dryer. I'm going to bring my guest, Mark Proksch, to the show now. How are you, Mark?
I'm great. Thank you for having me, Tom.
Thank you for coming on the show. Now, how does this sound, Jason?
Sounds great.
Great.
Yeah.
Where am I at on a scale of 1 to 10, broadcast quality-wise?
Oh, you're at a 9.2.
9.2, and where's Mark Proksch at?
9.2,
great.
Yeah.
Mark.
Yes, Tom.
Now, people know you for what?
Absolutely nothing.
No, that's not true. The first time we met Mark Proksch was...
K-Strauss.
A guy I call... Thank you. K-Strauss. Which, no, this is, how long ago is that? 6 years ago now?
Eight.
8 years ago when K-Strauss, because there was just one day where everybody was saying, did you see this thing? And nobody, those are the best moments ever when people are like, I'm not entirely sure who this guy is, but the weirdest thing happened and you need to see what this is. And it was you going on different morning shows through the Midwest as a yo-yo expert. Like, what did you call yourself?
Yo-yo expert, K-Strauss, the yo-yo man. Cause that's, and, I mean, that's cool.
And you'd go on these shows and you would be terrible at the yo-yo.
I can't yo-yo. I hate yo-yoing.
You'd get them all tangled, and then you'd start dragging your personal life into it. And it was the funniest, most subtle thing that got so ridiculous. It was the best. What was that reaction like when you first – because you did it, and I guess it goes live on television, obviously.
Right.
But now it's a matter of – you're not trying to play to those people watching some morning show in, like, what cities did you do?
Yeah, Green Bay or wherever. Yeah, Midwest.
But it's like when it got on the internet, like, what was that like when it first kind of started bubbling up into awareness?
Oh, I was annoyed because I didn't put it on the internet. My buddy Joe Pickett and I, who created K-Strauss, we wanted to do 10 or 12 in a row, and if you watched it, you would get this weird story arc.
Sure, you'd have the whole narrative
his life
for this guy.
Yeah. And someone started putting them up online, and I was just – I was furious.
Because now the researchers are going to realize this is a – there's a hoodwinking going on here.
Yeah, there's a guy spoofing.
Yes. And how many did you end up doing?
I think we did seven. Six or seven.
Okay. And it's just – it is just the funniest thing ever. And it is – but that became like a thing for you that people knew you as – K-Stress.
Right. Through that, I was just living in Wisconsin, and through that, I got on The Office. I mean, it's
literally
crazy. Literally got on to The Office.
Because you started infiltrating.
Because I made a jackass of myself on my
shows. And was it just, so you figured that it would add up to a long form thing that would, you'd tell
for my friends.
Yes.
To laugh at.
Yeah. This was not your virtual headshot.
No. In fact, we took off any presence of myself online. I deleted my Facebook. I deleted everything.
It's just so this would be a pure.
So people would think it was real.
Yeah.
We were, and then afterwards I was offered like, come and do a Radio Shack commercial as K-Stress, or hey, we want to sell K-Stress shirts.
So there was a road that you could have gone down, Mark Proksch.
Yes.
Where you leaned so hard into K-Stress.
Yeah.
That it would have just been like you would have just burnt it out and then just been like, then you would have been just like, remember that? Like then it's that superiority sets in where people are better than you.
Right.
Because K-Stress did not last forever.
Yeah, and he sold out.
Yeah, because you cashed all the chips. But you know how people do that thing? You ever hear people that are just like, Steve Gutenberg, as if like, oh, he's the ultimate loser. Right, right. It's like, no, this guy was a huge movie star for 5 years and just did not sustain it.
Right.
But at one point he was the big, like really big. It didn't last forever. And then suddenly people are like, this guy's such a loser.
Yeah.
Like, because he's not popular like he was for those 5 years. Oh, you mean the 5 years when he starred in movies and got everything he ever wanted out of life?
Could have walked into Petco and picked out any bird he wanted.
Any bird. They'd just be like, if Goot, as I call him, went into Petco or PetSmart.
Sure.
Either one.
Sure.
He'd have traction at either one. He goes in and he's like, what's the deal with the macaw? It's like, well, that macaw's not for sale. And then then he goes, I guess he would do some line from Cocoon or something.
Or show his resume.
Sure, he'd slap his, because at that point.
It's pre-IMDb.
Sure, so he's walking in with something from his agent. I guess it was like a typed up filmography.
An introductory letter to area stores.
Something from, the AFI typed up a notarized letter for him that he goes into any pet shop or bird specialty store and slaps the thing down. Oh, so sorry, Mr. Gutenberg. That macaw is $1,600, but of course you just, would you like anything else?
Can I wrap it for you, Mr. Gutenberg?
It would be like, what was that guy who was like, what's the name of the guy who was like, yes?
He was on the Jack Benny shows where he started.
Okay.
But he, give me a second.
Because it's not Gail Gordon. Gail Gordon was the guy who was like from the Lucy show, the second Lucy show, where a very progressive plot line on this. Lucy is married to a guy who dies, a rich guy. Rich guy dies. Lucy is not able to control any part of her inheritance. It is run by another guy.
Right.
Who then Lucy has to beg for money to get the money that her husband, like,
yes,
should have left her. And so she's like, this guy, Ms. Carmichael. Then she'd always be like, I want to go buy a sweatshirt. And then he'd be like, you don't have that money, Ms. Carmichael.
You spent it on the ferret.
Yes, so that plot line might not fly now, but that guy was, yes, like he just had a thing carved out.
And it wasn't
out.
Mel Blanc.
No.
Because Mel Blanc did a bunch of stuff on Jack Benny, but it wasn't him.
I need a
thing. It's criminal that we don't know this.
I need a thing where I just go, yes, like a one thing, and then everybody's like, oh, yeah, it's you. Can we pay you to do that kind of thing? But that could have been you. You could have been like,
yeah,
like, it would have just been like on Celebrity Rehab or something. You would have been on pretending you had a problem. It's like, in the house, we got K-Stress is in the house.
YouTube flunky K-Stress.
And you just are, it's like, you know, his name's not Kenny. Like, it's,
it's
like,
not Kenny Strasser.
He's just calling, like.
It's Mark Proch. No one can pronounce his last name.
Yeah. No, but you did it. Then you burned it.
Yeah, kind of.
Then you went right from that to The Office?
Yeah, crazy. It was very – my first scene was just me swatting down a hornet's nest, and that was the first time I was ever on television.
On The Office.
On The Office.
Just went on the
set.
On
network TV, yeah.
Yeah.
Didn't have any inspirations of being an actor. Didn't know that I could ever do it in a million years.
But did you want to do it?
Yeah, but you know, it's one of those things where you just don't think you can do it. Like I grew up in a small Wisconsin town. My parents are, you know, they work 9-to-5 jobs. No one in my family ever lived in California.
They work 9-to-5.
Yeah, they worked every night, 9-to-5, every day, 9-to-5.
Oh, I thought you meant they had 14 jobs.
No, they did. That's why I'm saying.
Okay.
Yeah.
So they'd work. I mean, they have to be part-time jobs, I would assume, because it would be
some of them were even quarter-time, yeah.
Because there's no way to have 9 full-time jobs. The math just doesn't track.
No, they would go. They would go to Kmart for 15 minutes.
Put in the time. Get the discount. Yeah. So this was not your thing, but it became your thing.
Yeah.
And then before long, it was just your thing.
It was my only thing.
Yes. And then you moved out to Lipstick City.
Yep.
You threw everything into the jalopy, right?
Yeah.
Grapes of Wrath style.
I did. Took me 8 weeks, just like on Grapes of Wrath.
To drive all your
stuff.
To
drive out all my stuff and grandma and everyone.
And that's with a job waiting.
It was, but it wasn't a regular job. Okay. It was a guest starring job.
Okay.
So there were some moments of no money, many moments of no money.
Yeah.
So,
but it was then the thing started to click. And cause look, now people, they know you from The Office. They know you from On Cinema at the Cinema, which is that's one of the, you've done two all time things. Hall of Fame status. Right?
Yes, because I have good friends.
Yeah, no, well, you're one of the funniest things, and I know I keep saying that, but it's like when you did the most recent season of On Cinema, and it's in the virtual reality thing, and there's no, like, there's like an Easter egg, a little bit of an Easter egg. If you spin the thing around, right, during one of Greg's segments, then you see you in a bed. It's stunning that I just was like, oh, maybe I'll flip the thing around. So it's like, oh no, there he is. Mark's there.
Very grim.
It was very so grim. Bleak. That was so bleak. But it's so funny. So look, you're here. I'm here. I don't know why you're in Toronto. No idea why.
I like to travel.
You are. You're just one of the things. You went from Wisconsin to Los Angeles. Now you decided to swing up and check out Toronto.
I think it's been there's been press, so I think we can say.
We can say, yes. You're also – we're working together on the TV show that I'm working on.
Yes, what we do in the shadows.
Yes, and it's all good people.
Very good people.
It is. It's great people. It's one of the best things I've ever been involved in people-wise. Hey, Dudio. Is this guy taking the scenic route?
Yes.
Right? What, you taking the scenic route?
No, I just had to...
I'm kidding. I'm
took
kidding.
The scenic route. I did.
Did you order food?
I didn't.
You guys aren't getting food tonight.
I don't know. It's kind of late. We've been eating a lot of chips. Are you good, Mike? Mike's good.
Michael, boy, are you going to take a cash? Just the cash for the food, Mike? Right? Yeah. Michael grab a 20. He'll pick some up at the Quick Check, that green Quick Check. In Bayonne, there's a Quick Check. It's a very progressive Quick Check. It's all solar panel. What is it, Mike? Solar energy running this Quick Check.
Wow.
It's very impressive. It's a little worse than a usual Quick Check because it's very dark in there.
The lighting doesn't work that well.
They didn't get it right.
Oh.
It's very dim. Some would say scary in there. But no, Mike, if you want to take the money, just take the money. You know where it's hidden. You know where the pizza money is, Mike. Grab a 20. Treat yourself to go get yourself a sub sandwich. So, we're here. We're in Toronto. We're having fun. Is there a good call? A good call we could put on?
Yeah. Let me grab line 4. Is on.
All right.
Hey, who's this?
This is Nick from Nashville.
Nick from Nashville. You're on with me and Mark Proksh.
What's going on, guys? How are you doing?
I don't know. You sound like you think you're a tough guy. I don't know how I feel about this. Picking up bad vibes off you, buddy. You think you're a Nashville tough guy?
I'm not a tough guy. I'm all soft junk here in Nashville, Tennessee.
All right. How many you ever ride the electric bull down there?
I actually did before. I hurt my arm holding on really tight. Mm-hmm. It's kind of weird. It's pretty weird.
How long did you last on it?
I was able to stay on it for a really long time, but...
What's a long time?
A couple hours?
Yeah.
No, I feel like they made me get off after like 30 seconds.
I'm sure. Yeah, they were just like, oh, this guy's so good at this. He's gonna, They might as well have just given you the mission, the thing, let you just go home with it. Load it in the back of your truck, your electric bull. No. You can keep it, buddy. Nobody's ever going to ride this thing again after what you just did on it.
So, what
are the pleasure of this call?
Well, wanted to send greetings from Nashville, Tennessee. Our friend, you've been to my spot, Soft Junk, in Nashville. You saw a show here. And I'm
I know this
Joey.
Guy. This is a good guy. This is a good guy. He runs a little artistic collective thing down there, right?
That's correct, yeah.
Runs a record label. Never sent me anything, but it's a record label. It's great. Never.
That's
never stuck those
call,
records in the mail you told me you'd send me, but that's fine. I didn't. Why would you send them to me? I mean, you said you would, but sure. I mean,
I did.
Who could ever get their hands on a box to put records in?
Especially a guy who runs a record label. I know.
Exactly.
Pretty terrible.
A guy with a record label, why would he send them to someone who does a radio show that specializes in the music that your record label puts out? It would just be a big waste of money to send me those records, right?
Yeah, It would just be too easy. But
especially when you press them yourself and they don't cost a whole lot. Why would you do that? Come on.
I am currently printing covers for the new Country Westerns record, which Joey Plunkett, your good friend, is a part of. And
he is. Good friend. I like Joey.
They're coming to New York Friday and Saturday of this week.
Well, I hope people there have a good time with them because I'll be up here.
Stuck in Canada. Yeah, that's unfortunate. Yeah.
I'll be up here pricing out Maple Leafs shirts at the Eaton Center.
I think I had a question for you. This particular 45 we're doing for them, we couldn't decide which song to
see,
put.
This, let me just say this.
Yes.
You didn't send me any of your records. But you're doing an infomercial on the show now, apparently.
Oh, yeah, no. I just thought, all right, you're right. You're right. I'm going to hand deliver that. I'm coming to Canada as soon as I get my passport.
No, don't do that. As soon as you get your passport, trust me, they're never giving you your passport back.
I know.
There's a reason why you don't have one. So, yeah, send me the records, yeah. Knucklehead.
Oh, yeah. We're gonna have a lot of nice records for you in the mail.
So tell me, my friend, who's your hero? Who's your hero?
Oh, man. I was born on December 18th, so I've always gone to Keith Richards as kind of a man who's just kind of gone for it in life. And that hasn't changed much. I still kind of feel that way. Keith's the man.
You like Keith Richards?
Yeah, I love it. I mean,
what's your favorite Rolling Stone song? Let me see if I can guess. I guess okay. We'll both say it on the count of three. Ready? And I know your favorite song.
Okay.
One, two, three. Before they make me run.
Before they make me run. Yo! You got me.
Was I right?
Great song. And he only gets to sing like what, a handful of songs, and he totally nails that one. I love that.
I guessed your favorite Rolling Stone song.
You nailed it. Completely nailed it.
You're not joking. You're not joking, right?
I'm not joking. No, absolutely not.
There's Rolling Stone songs that people haven't even discovered yet.
Yeah.
Is that so?
They're just, yeah, there's a vault. They hid, you didn't hear that hidden Rolling Stones vault? I'm going to say
Where
this.
Is that?
I was coming home from work today. I was in such a bad mood. It was so cold. And I'm walking down the street. And then some guy comes up to me and he goes, "Have you seen my bird?" And then I'm like, I'm just like, I just look at him, like I glared at him. He goes, "Oh, hey, man, I'm sorry." Like he completely dropped whatever routine he was in. He goes, "Oh, hey, man, sorry. We're doing like a scavenger hunt thing and we're just in the middle of the thing." I was like, "I'm not having a good day." And he goes, "So sorry, man. I hope you have a better day. Hope the rest of your day goes better." But it was just so, like, "Have you seen my bird?" Like he was about to go into his whatever comedy routine his scavenger hunt required. And just watching him fold as soon as I did not give him the time of day. "Oh, I am so sorry. We're just doing a scavenger hunt thing." It's like, you know, I say to that, don't let the Brooklyn thing come up and ruin Toronto. You want to go do your scavenger hunts and your tic-tac-toe and whatever you're doing in Brooklyn? What are they doing? The giant cradle in the park? Remember they put that giant crib in McCarran Park and everybody went in it? Right? What else are they playing there? Pillow fights in the middle of the park? Kickball? Don't bring that up here. This place has other things. They don't need Toronto, don't give in. Don't try to be Brooklyn all of a sudden. And look, weed is going to be legal tomorrow, I believe, but it's
unbelievable.
So you can buy it, which I think is news. Might be news to the stores I pass that openly sell it, that it wasn't available for sale. The stores that are just actively and opening selling it to anyone.
Well, everybody wants to be the last person to get busted selling weed in Canada. That'd be kind of cool.
Only that is maybe the most privileged thing I've ever heard a human say, is that someone would be thrilled to be the last person to get arrested for something. That is truly, look, I don't say things like this. You got to check your privilege, buddy. That is to brag about getting arrested would be a cool thing. Because what do you think? It's going to be a jail fantasy camp? You get run through that thing? You're not hanging out with the guys from Quiet Riot in some metal fantasy camp.
Does Canada put people in jail for
go tell someone with the Rockefeller laws all about how fun it would be to go get arrested for drug possession. Dump this dude. Dump this dude. Send me the records, but
love
dump
you, Tom,
this dude.
Bye.
Dump him.
He is dumped.
Guy working me up here. Look, we don't make the show political, but that's a line too far.
Everything with the pot now, you know?
It's pot culture. They like their pot up here. Hey, Jason?
Yeah?
Tell me how this sounds.
The wait is finally over. The check is shattered. for the best wings in the valley has come to an end. From their famous boneless wings to their traditional and even breaded wings, you just can't find anything better. Like variety, the Shack gives you 10 different wing flavors to choose from.
That's, I've never played more than I just played right now of it. I am savoring this.
That's a 4.8.
The Shack gives you 10 different flavors of chicken wings. What flavors were they giving?
Well, there was a Jason Gore flavor.
No, I didn't want to open that door.
Yeah.
I don't want to open that door. Mark Proksch, do you like chicken wings?
No.
No.
You know, it's dark meat and it's, you know, a lot of skin.
Because you're a very cultured guy.
I'm so cultured.
You've got a refined palate.
I'm from Wisconsin. I like cheese curds.
Okay.
And other cheese products.
Well, then you're right where you should be here.
Yeah. I do feel like I'm back at home.
Do you like poutine?
No.
Did you grow up with poutine?
Nope.
It didn't make it down to Wisconsin.
No. I grew up on bratwurst.
Okay.
Packers, Brewers, and...
Oh, Packers. Okay. I wasn't sure what you...
Yeah, that's my Wisconsin.
I thought it was another food.
Oh, like, Packers?
Yeah.
Like hot dogs with bratwurst in them?
I didn't know what those... If those were like, oh, those are the Packers. You don't eat those?
You need to eat a Packer.
Yeah. You get a Packer in the Lambeau Field parking lot. Have you been to that stadium?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Is it fun?
It is. It truly is.
Do you know who goes to those games once a year? Is Emmy Award winning actor Tony Shalhoub.
Oh, really?
He grew up in Wisconsin also.
Really?
Yes, he grew up in Wisconsin, and he is a lifelong Packers fan.
I didn't know that.
Yes.
Bud Crawford, the boxer, is a big Packers fan too.
Okay.
I saw him the other night in the on the Packers show.
So there's the Packers show. You mean the football game?
Whatever you want to call it. I mean, that's fine.
The Packers show. That is. Yeah, they do this show once a week. They do it
sometimes on Mondays.
Yeah, it's usually a weekend gig, and then it's a show, and then they do it with another troupe.
They'll have a guest team come in once in a while.
Yeah. And then they do the thing, and you never know what's going to happen with it. That's the fun part, is you never know what's going to happen.
Every week it's different.
Who is your all-time – speaking of heroes, was there a football player that was your hero when you were a kid?
No, basketball, Larry Bird. And I know that's contentious for
that's
some
fine.
People, but I – you know, that mid-'80s Celtics, they were
– That was your guy, Larry Bird.
Yes.
You like that wispy mustache?
I didn't like the look.
Mustache.
He was smart. He was brilliant on the court.
He was not, but the mustache.
It turned me off.
Mustache might have been a way to make people think he was dumb. Like
there were a lot of ways he did things that made people think he was dumb.
I think that mustache might have been the
primary mullet.
One. The mullet. Yeah.
The mullet was
The curly mullet.
Yes.
Is a very special kind of mullet he had. It kind of looped around in the back.
It had its own personality in the back.
That thin mustache where you'd think he was still in a junior in high school with that thing.
The older kid that was held back 2 years.
Yeah, exactly. The guy at shop class.
Yeah.
Just there's always this guy in shop class, Larry.
Yeah.
How many years has he been in
school? I don't know
if
he's a teacher. I don't know if he's the student.
Yeah, he's – and he's
he has a family. He has kids.
He's got a pickup truck, and he's in the parking lot, and he goes out at lunch sometimes.
To check his mail.
And he just blasts – Judas Priest out in the parking lot, and he's hanging out there. He's like – I saw him making out with a chick in the parking lot, and it's like – then you find out it's like – Oh, you know that's one of the best basketball players. He brings that attitude to the NBA, and people are like,
"Yeah,
yeah."
So that was my sports hero growing up. Absolutely,
Larry Bird. My favorite Larry Bird thing is his career ended early. Why? Because he hurt his back doing what? Shoveling his own walkway,
driveway. Yep.
Come on.
People would sit outside his house to watch him mow his lawn.
Well, why does he tell one of them to pick a shovel up? Help him out. Help the guy out.
He's getting older.
Like they're watching him and somebody's like, oh, and they're like, oh, we better, it's bad if we're seen here that we were just watching him shovel. We should split. And they just like, they call the, 911, which is like, oh yeah, I think Larry Bird is, hurt.
Larry Bird's down.
He's doubled over in his driveway.
Okay, is he at Boston Garden right now? No.
No, he's at home in his driveway. I don't know the address.
Excuse me?
Yeah. So that was your sports here. How about did you have a comedy hero?
Oh yeah. I had a handful, but, Bob Newhart.
Sure. That was your guy.
Oh yeah. Yeah. No, he, from the time I can remember, mm-hmm. he was him and Don Knotts.
Yes. Oh, you told me a thing. Do you tell that thing? Is that, no?
I can tell it. I've never.
It's going to make you sad.
It's really embarrassing. So through a mutual writer friend, one of the writers from the Big Bang Theory, emailed me and asked me if he said, you know, our showrunner's a huge fan, uh-huh. Of K-Strauss. This was right when I moved out to LA.
Okay. So he's like, you're as green as the Packers.
Oh yeah. Right. Absolutely.
As green as Lambeau Field on a crisp September
morn.
Sunday morn. Yes.
And, so, he says, hey, listen, would you want to come in and do K-Strauss or just like kind of come in as K-Strauss to surprise our showrunner? And there's a part I left out last night that I forgot. And I was like, you know, that's not really up my alley. And then he wrote back, well, if you change your mind, Bob Newhart's going to be on set. And I had met Bob Newhart once before at a table read. And during the table read, I went up, the table read was ridiculously long. It was like 190 pages, and there was a halftime in between. And so I went up to Bob Newhart, mm-hmm. and who was sitting one seat over from me, and I just asked him, I said, how much ad-libbing did you guys do on the Bob Newhart show?
Mm-hmm.
And he kind of side-eyed me and said, well, not that much. I mean, the writers wrote a lot of it. And I took the cue as like, yeah. All right.
Yeah.
And so I then asked, are you and Don Rickles going to be going live?
His longtime friend.
Right. And they would do shows around the area. I said, are you and him, are you guys going to tour anytime soon? And he just said, no, nothing on the books.
On the books.
And so, you know, that's, you know, I kind uh-huh. of just on my knees as I was just kind of wandered away.
Yeah.
And so I thought, well, here's a chance. This Big Bang Theory showrunner gig I have just been offered. Here's a chance for me to redeem myself with Bob Newhart.
True entree.
Oh, absolutely. So I agreed to do it. I went in on what was apparently the worst possible day to go in to do my YouTube character for the showrunner of a network TV show because they didn't have the script nailed down and they were about to film.
And they're in a panic.
They were in a panic.
Yeah.
And so they brought me in to see the showrunner. And I came in, I was like, hi, how are you? Nice to meet you.
Were you dressed as K-Strauss?
Oh, yeah.
So you came in cold.
It was so embarrassing.
And is it one of those things like, what? What?
Yes.
I'm trying to get the thing.
He looked at me, he said, oh, hi. And then he looked to the guy next to me and said, hey, do we have Johnny Sides yet?
Uh-huh. Johnny Galecki.
Johnny Galecki.
So you're in, what are you wearing now?
Oh, green suspenders, green shorts, you know, my moron outfit. At someone else's workplace who's seriously, like, he's mm-hmm. trying to figure out the damn show.
Yeah.
Because they do it, you know, they tape live.
Yeah, and you're?
And I'm mincing around like a moron.
Yeah.
Anyway, it did not go as planned. And
we got a little surprise for you.
It no joke, it was.
It was that?
Yeah, it was like.
Oh, yeah. Oh, hey, man.
It was that.
Where's Johnny Sides? We got that. And you're just like, did you shrink?
Oh, it tail between the legs. I walked off. Anyway, I stayed for the show. And after the show, this guy, this writer friend brought me over to Bob Newhart. And I said, oh, hi, Bob. Nice to see you. We actually met at, you know, blank and blank's table read. And he said, oh, okay. Hi. And then he just looked at me from the corner of his eyes like I was about to shiv him.
Like
I was going to attack him. Yeah,
this is a scare. Like. I'm on edge now.
This is that bald, doughy stalker guy from the table read.
There clearly was the look of recognition.
Yeah, and fear.
And fear.
Yeah. So that's my hero. That was meeting my hero.
That's your hero. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, that's how it goes, though. I've met a lot of people that I like or have admired, but aren't heroes, and it went fine.
Yeah, I don't know. I think... Yeah, for me, hero-wise, yeah, because everybody's like, you don't want to meet a hero. But then, like, you just kind of validated that.
Yeah. Oh, right?
Because then I'd be like, because then I also question, like, what even is a hero? Like, let's like, look, would a part of me like to have met Bill Murray at some point in my life? Yeah, sure. But is he my hero? I don't think so.
Oh, yeah, there's those.
I don't think he's my hero. I think I admire his stuff.
Right.
I mean, the only hero I guess I have would be like Sully, right?
Sure.
Sully Sullenberger.
Right? Sure.
Oh, and speaking of hero, Mike, get on the mic, Mike. Mike, that's a. Where are you? I want to say, look, we do not speak ill of the dead here on the show, of course, but I know Mike, somebody you admired just passed away.
Yeah.
Today.
I was waiting for this.
The world lost
a
great man.
Yeah.
Owner of the Dennis Hoff.
Yeah.
A politician. Mm-hmm. I guess he's call him a politician first, right?
Yeah.
And the owner of a brothel.
Yes.
That HBO was in extended business with.
Oh, yeah.
Years. HBO was doing years of business with this brothel.
Yeah.
That was like 15 seasons.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was great. They worked that deal out. Mine not so much.
And it will show for eternity on HBO On Demand under the, what do they call it, late night?
I think it's After Dark.
After
Cat
Dark.
House. Yeah. Cat House. They had a show called Cat House starring this creep, Dennis Hoff, who ran the Cat House and... he passed away. Mm-hmm. He was running for... Was he running for, Mike?
Assemblyman, I think.
He's running for Congress, wasn't he?
Congress.
I'm not sure. Oof.
I think it was Dennis Hoff.
Wow. Yeah.
What was intriguing to me, I mean, he died in his sleep.
As he lived.
Well, no. He died in his sleep, which is, you know, if you're going to go out, that's like the best way to go out.
Mm-hmm.
And he was discovered... By he had just celebrated his 72nd birthday the night before with Ron
Air
Jeremy.
Force Annie.
Ron Jeremy.
From Air Force Annie from the show? Okay, no. Ron Jeremy, of
Ron
course.
Jeremy. Flavor Flav.
Flav, great.
And Joe Aprayo.
And Sheriff Joe.
Sheriff Joe. And, you know, I was thinking, like, maybe that could be a topic, future topic. Of if you were going to go out, who were the people you would like to surround yourself the night before you go out? You know, after seeing that grouping, I mean, you know.
So Dennis Hoff went out with
Ron Jeremy.
The last night of his life was spent with Ron Jeremy,
Flavor Flav,
and
Joe,
and Sheriff Joe.
It's like if you took Duke from G.I. Joe and Han Solo from Star Wars, He-Man.
Yeah.
It's a really great bunch.
It's like the Beatles of scum.
It's like they were holding a boat giveaway and called all the cons in.
Exactly. Just arrest everybody on general principles. So we'll sort it out downtown.
I have a feeling Flavor Flav
get him in the paddy wagon.
Was there accidentally? I can't accept.
Yeah,
the
I'm
fact
sure
that,
he wandered in.
Yeah, I think he probably just happened to be in the same hotel or something, wherever it was the party was.
Magical moments don't happen very often in life, but when they do, you need to treasure them. And as I had said on the air when I was in Las Vegas 2 years ago, seeing the Criss Angel tribute show, the fundraiser he did. Do you remember when I talked about this, Mike?
Yeah, I do.
And when they were on stage, and it was Criss Angel and the head of his charity and then his family and then Tony Orlando, who is the host of the evening. And they had a giant check for Criss Angel's organization. And then Flavor Flav, who had performed earlier in the show with Blue Man Group, apparently felt he didn't get enough stage time, came out during the check-giving moment, got his hands on a live mic somehow, and started talking about what a great guy Criss Angel was. Like, not unlike you, Mike, stealing my moment with the Kurt Vile, Courtney Barnett thing. This is Criss Angel's crowning moment where he is going to get this check awarded for all the charitable contributions that they had raised. And Flavor Flav, you were Flavor Flav that night, Mike, at that show. When you had to go down the aisle and make me stand up and look like I was trying to get applause.
I was happy to stand in the back. It was a Jello Man who really wanted me to go down to the seats.
Yeah, of course. So yeah. If Jello Man tells you to jump, you say how high, apparently. Jello Man is your puppet master.
He's Kurt's brother. You know, I felt like, you know.
Yeah.
I was.
So, yes. Yeah, so that lineup. Dennis Hoff, where the world right now, people in heaven are a little scared.
Grossed out.
And
yeah.
Grossed out.
Heaven.
There's a few more showers. People are taking a few more showers in heaven tonight.
Are you sure about angels, heaven?
Every time he dies, an angel takes a shower.
Somebody's just like, Now, this guy, again, also, condolences to everybody over at HBO for losing a long-term business partner and career-long collaborator. I couldn't get a second year of my thing worked out with them, but that's fine. You know, they could sort out season 14 of Cat House. They managed to get the terms of that nailed down with no problem. Dennis, right? Executive producer Dennis Hoff. Like probably later in the run of Cat House, he must have had an executive producer credit.
What do you think the mood's like at the Cat House tonight? You think there's going to be a somber memorial?
Mike, they probably, that place, somebody, this is what happened at the Cat House. Someone found out Dennis was dead. They started taking stuff, like gold, whatever they knew. Somebody I guarantee this, within 24 hours, somebody is like, We got to get into that safe. I know before this thing becomes a legal matter.
The old lady.
There's a safe.
Uh-huh. He always said I could have that lamp. He always said I could.
That's exactly.
That bath mat.
Then it's down to that. Exactly. It's down to like, Dennis. I want to remember Dennis with this, with this pearl-handled pistol that he always waved around. He always pointed at me and said, it's the way I want to remember him because that's the gun he waved at me.
I get the rest of his toilet paper.
Yeah, I get the rest of his toilet paper. Yeah, that's the gun he stuck in my mouth that time, remember? And told me to make my peace with the Lord. Remember when we did that in the music video, Mike?
Yeah, it was fun.
New pornographers video.
Yeah.
Greatest moments. Kevin Corrigan playing Dan Behar from the New Pornographers. Mm-hmm. Pulls out a gun. A rubber gun, by the way. We did not have a real gun on the set. And puts the gun in Mike's face. Mike is drumming. You're drumming, right?
Yeah. pretending to.
In full Aladdin Sane makeup. Mm-hmm. And he sticks a gun in your face.
Yeah.
And then you chomp down on the barrel of the gun, daring him.
Yeah.
That was... Look, I know I get on you. I get on you. I call the names. And look, the name, I don't call you. I'm the one defending. Uh-huh. The names I hear people say about you, Mike.
Yeah.
It would make your head spin.
Yeah, the backstabbing.
If you only knew, if you only knew the defending I have to do of you, Mike.
Oh, okay.
I'm telling you.
Yeah, what's he doing
there? People say, like, what's the real deal with Mike? Oh, he's a great guy, great guy. And then they'll say, that Mike is a no good blank, and he did this, he did that. No, he didn't. I don't buy it.
Yeah.
I don't buy it for a second. He's a good guy. But because what you did, I'll defend you for the rest of my life, Mike. Mm-hmm. And I'll also say apmike.bandcamp.com is, from what I've heard, the masses shirts are still up there.
Yeah.
Calendars, how are they selling?
They're going good. I'm starting to see some double orders now as the holiday approaches. Mm. People are getting them for, as gifts for friends. And
sure.
It's going well.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking into having...
So that's it. You're seeing orders like people are now getting them for other people.
Yeah,
they have theirs.
Yeah, yeah, the double orders. Haven't had a triple order yet, but I expect they'll start coming in.
Now, what states have you not gotten orders from?
You know what? I think maybe Wyoming.
Okay.
It's pretty sparse.
People in Wyoming not coming through.
Yeah, but I mean, Idaho's come through, South Dakota,
mm-hmm.
Iowa.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's
see, Mikey, the problem is out there. A lot of these places, you're competing with the almanacs, and that's they tend to... lean on poor John or whatever that guy was. But, they're not up to calendars yet.
But you know, certain cities are like just like hot spots. Portland is like my number one city. I mean,
what if we do this? Hey, what about this, Mike? No joke.
Mm-hmm.
Today is the 16th.
Mm-hmm.
What if we say, and I'll do this. I will do this, Mike. Mm-hmm. If you'll do it, I'll do it, mm-hmm. and. Whichever city gets the most orders, get you ready for you see where I'm going with this?
Yeah, maybe, yeah.
They get AP Mike.
Yeah,
right?
That'd be great.
I'll buy you a plane ticket.
Mm-hmm.
Seriously, I'll buy you a plane ticket to any, whatever U.S. city. I don't want you to suddenly be like, yeah, Turks and Caicos. Boy. Like, you'll put your own order in for calendars.
But
you'll pull a Punch Drunk Love on me with that pudding labels. You pull a switcheroo, you'll buy your own calendars from you. You'll sell them to yourself, and then you'll go to the Turks and Caicos on my dime.
No, but you probably already know that Brooklyn is also way up there too.
Oh yeah, no. I'll make you fly from Newark to JFK. You'll have to fly from Newark to JFK, and then take the bus to Brooklyn. If it's Brooklyn, no, we'll take Brooklyn off the table.
Okay.
How about that?
Yeah, it's either.
No, we can put Brooklyn. No, because I don't want people from Brooklyn not by the calendar.
Right.
We'll send you to Brooklyn.
Yeah.
If it's Brooklyn, you go first class.
Austin, right? Texas.
Uber
is also,
X. I'll send you Uber X.
Austin, Texas is also coming through big time.
Okay. Well, look, why don't you keep a tally of which city is.
Uh-huh.
Which city is at the top?
Uh-huh.
What should we set the date as, a month from now?
Maybe go even further, right?
A little further. How about let's do it to the end of the
Towards
year then.
The
let's do, because that's the calendar
do it to
cycle.
The end of the year,
Why don't we do the end of the year, whichever city buys the most AP Mike calendars over at apmike.bandcamp.com. Mike will go to that city, and I mean, God knows what you're going to do when you get there.
Basically, I could probably just go to like a bar that would probably like to have me for a night. And
that's exactly it.
You know,
you'll go to a bar and hang out with everybody.
Yeah. A meet and greet thing. Yeah.
A meet and greet. AP Mike meet and greet. Mm-hmm. Would you do that?
Yeah, I would do that.
Then let's do that. End of the year. This is the challenge. The AP Mike calendar challenge.
Mm-hmm.
Whichever city comes through most, Mike's going to do a personal appearance in your city. I love this.
Yeah.
This is great. Fun. Right?
Yeah.
What can you imagine the thrill, Mark, approach of going to your town? You find out your town's in the running. You're close. And you just, maybe if we could only get 30 more people to buy a calendar, then Mike's coming to Los Angeles.
I mean, it could energize the whole community.
Yeah.
It really is. It's like a, it's like a Seabiscuit scenario. Where
yeah, Seabiscuit or,
this horse is giving people hope.
Yeah. Or Cinderella Man.
Or Cinderella Man. This boxer's giving people hope.
Yeah. People will feel energized who are at a certain point in their life where they felt downtrodden.
And they just like a thing can give them hope.
Uh-huh. AP yeah. Mike.
AP Mike is giving people hope. Can you imagine that?
Yeah. A man in his calendar.
We're close.
Yeah.
Hey, this calendar's giving people hope, right?
Yeah.
This little calendar's giving people hope. I also want to say this. With Seabiscuit, really? Everybody's that juiced about a horse. This horse is giving people hope. This horse doesn't even know you exist. He wants to eat oats and run. He's not getting off on giving you hope.
No.
It's like, how can you have a thing? Yeah. Like, Rocky gives you hope. All right. I could buy that. I'm still not 100% sold on that Creed 2 trailer the more I watch it. There's something a little weird about Drago's kid coming back to fight. It's like, why does every franchise have to be about lineage?
Yeah, there aren't kids. I mean,
child
it's not
boxers.
Politics.
It's like, yeah, it's weird enough that everybody's, my grandfather was a Jedi, so now I'm a Jedi too.
Yeah.
But now everybody's a boxer?
Enough.
Drago's kid's a boxer? Right, Mike?
Yeah.
What if Philly wins it, Mike?
Philly. Yeah, Philly's strong contender.
All right.
Yeah.
You'll go down there. Yeah. You'll rock it down there, huh?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, it'll be fun in Philly.
Yeah, those are your people.
Are there any Wisconsin cities, Mike?
Yeah, they're Milwaukee, Madison.
You know.
The
usuals.
Yeah, I guess so, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, Wisconsin's in the mix, definitely. Had a few go out there.
Don't say that just because I'm on the show.
No, you don't need to do that.
Yeah, come on, Mike. This guy can take it.
I get the figures every day, you know. And Madison is in there. Yeah. Yeah.
So do you want to say some words about Dennis Hoff, Mike? Anything you want to say?
Not really. I mean, he went out. He had a fortunate ending, and I guess maybe. You would have thought he would have got a rougher deal at the end, but no. And,
no. It's really quite dispiriting, actually, I think you could say, is that he was not punished in any way by life.
And
he was a bad guy who did bad things and hurt many people and only seemed to be rewarded.
Well,
for exploiting others.
I think he's currently on the ticket for the next election. And I'm wondering now if
I know what you're saying. You think he faked his death.
Well,
you think he faked his death.
No, but say he does win. Does that mean like Air Force Annie can step into his job?
Oh, no. You know what I think is going to happen? Sheriff Joe. Going to slide in.
Oof. He left
or even Ron Jeremy.
Something in his will.
President Jeremy. What if Ron Jeremy? Mark, one time I was in Los Angeles. I'm driving through the city of West Hollywood, and I'm going down Sunset Boulevard, which is a major drag.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going past the Hustler Superstore, right?
Uh-huh.
Which is a huge porn emporium. And they also, it's a not just a porn emporium, it also has a cafe attached to it.
And that's elegant.
Yeah, a little fun if you want
to nice, yeah.
Grab a latte.
Or take your parents or something.
Yeah, exactly. Anybody want a little wake me up? Go to the...
Get the Eggs Benny at the Hustler Cafe.
So I'm driving past, outside the Hustler Superstore at one of their nice cafe outdoor tables too, because of course it's indoor outdoor cafe. It's, you know, as all nice European styled cafes would be, it's sort of an outdoor component.
Sure.
Ron Jeremy's sitting outside the Hustler Superstore drinking coffee. It's like, come on, Ron, that's on the nose for even you.
Way too on the nose.
Yeah. Hey, let's go get some coffee and go to the Hustler Superstore. Imagine him coming. Can you imagine the poor barista working there? Ron's back.
Oh, God, Ron's back. Get his soup ready.
Yeah. I wanted a mocha latte. Right?
And I'll have the mulligan stew.
You heat this up. He comes with something to heat up.
It's Albertson's brand Mulligan Stew.
Yeah, I got this at John's. Can you heat this soup up for me? It's Mulligan Stew. You can have some.
I used to have intercourse on TV.
Worst part would be when he's just like, you got the key for the men's room?
Oh.
Right?
Ron, yeah, Ron, not again.
It's broken, Ron. Like, they're just, they keep telling him it's broken.
You broke the mop last time, Ron. We're not letting you in there again.
Uh-huh. This is Mike's favorite. This Dennis Hoff thing. I know you're putting on a brave face with it, Mike, and I appreciate that. It's a testament to your professionalism as a broadcaster that you know that the image comes first, and you have a role to play.
He died as he lived, forgettably.
And just again, I know I'm not trying to run this into the ground, but HB, I hope that everyone at home box office.
well, they're probably working on a tribute already, right?
They lost a good friend, and I hope they can get through this troubled time.
Colleague
and a coworker, and I'm sure a friend, colleague, coworker, and probably family.
You part of the HBO family.
You'd call him family at this point.
No, I could already see them doing their version. You know, a CNN. Just did the impact of Anthony Bourdain. So I could see HBO doing the impact of Dennis Hoff.
You think they'll do a tribute?
Everybody coming forward.
Here's one for
you.
Does Dennis Hoff make the Emmys in memoriam credit?
That just bummed me out.
I think it's no. I think HBO will push for it, but I think the Academy pushes back on that one.
Will Ron Jeremy?
For what? His appearances in, like,
his
Detroit
stunt
Rock
casting.
City? Will that be?
Yeah.
Yeah. He was in the movie Detroit Rock City. That would be the Oscars, though, for that. So I guess
right
have to be a tribute. Ugh. Yeah. Mike, here's one for you. Do I ever make an in memoriam? Do I? Edgar Awards, maybe?
Podcasters Hall of Fame.
Podcaster Hall of Fame? No, I created that, Mike. I created. Did you know I created a
podcast? Oh, I do. Oh, absolutely, yeah.
We need to have another. Oh, I think it's time for another award show. It's about this time last year. We did it.
Yeah.
I got to figure out who the new inductees are. To the Podcasting Hall of Fame. Maybe Hamburger Men get in this year, right?
Maybe.
Right? Who should – maybe – what if we only let the hamburger from Hamburger Men in? Not the two guys that do it. We'll just let their hamburger friend in? Because I think they have like an animated hamburger they hang out with. We'll let the animated hamburger in this year.
But you have to pick an episode, don't you?
To honor them?
Yeah, like Fish Filet. 10-17.
Exactly. We'd like to honor Hamburger Men for the Arby's Big Beef and Cheese episode.
Do they do that every day, or is it weekly?
I think they do it once or twice a week. Wow. I don't know, Mike. Yeah. I just know how much money they're making from it. It makes me ill.
Yeah, I can't imagine even listening to it.
Makes me as ill as they must be from eating that food. Mm. You imagine? These guys going to Johnny Rockets. These guys have to go to Johnny. That's work for them, Mike. Johnny Rockets.
Did they talk about Burger King's zesty sauce for the onion rings?
Mike, I don't listen to it. I don't listen.
Okay.
Did they talk? I'm sure they do, though. I'm sure they talk about the zesty sauce at Burger King. I'm sure that's going to be a that's going to be an investigative report for them. Zesty sauce.
What is it?
God bless. I said, God bless them. God bless all. And there's money to make. I salute everybody. I salute all these people with their podcasts. The more, the merrier. There's still room in the pool. Come on, everybody, jump on in. Right.
Marketplace of ideas. Yeah,
it really is. It's a vibrant medium. Everybody should take a crack at it,
and everyone should try to listen to every podcast.
Every podcast,
absolutely.
You should just listen. All the music is a thing of the past. You should just listen to people goof around. Is the way it is now, Mike?
Yes.
Who's your hero growing up?
You know, I've been trying to think of this. You know, I'd like to say somebody in my own life, you know, but I don't know. There's been lots of disappointments. Bill Bradley was...
Then who's a famous person? If you don't want to go into the personal route,
uh-huh.
Is there a famous person that you admired as a child?
You know, I've liked different writers over the years, but then I sort of like tend to move on. It's not like one writer's, you know, even writers sort of eventually they sort of disappoint you later on. You know, like they don't hold up as time goes on. I don't know. It's a tough one. I don't know.
So you have no answer to this?
Yeah, I'm
saying.
Still thinking. I wanted to come
right.
up with something.
Beat it, Mike. Beat it. You're driving me nuts.
Sorry.
Get Dudio in there. He'll have somebody. And you know what? He'll come in. Dude, this is what Dudio will do. He's going to have someone, and he's going to say it in a way that also makes – that works very hard to make you sound dumb for not having one.
Well, I got quite a few.
See, there it is. That's what I was
– Freddie Mercury.
More than one, Mike.
Freddie Mercury is a hero of mine.
Okay, Freddie Mercury.
Phil Hartman, like, comedy-wise. Mm-hmm. Big hero
yes.
of mine. Kristen, when she worked at SNL, had Phil Hartman's desk, and I would touch it every time I was there. Not in a creepy
That's
way.
Exciting.
But.
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Kind of like feel that energy off of it or whatever. So
Phil Hartman.
Yeah. The guys from REM.
Mm-hmm.
Always big okay. Heroes.
Those are your heroes. Those and are good heroes.
Yeah. And I embarrassed myself in front of one of them once, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Someday we'll hear that story.
Yeah,
you did or didn't?
Oh, I did. Terribly.
Oh, okay. I thought you were doing a dig on me.
No.
Like, I'm
no.
the only one that has embarrassed himself in front of a hero.
No, I tremendously embarrassed myself in front of one of them. Yeah.
Oh, no. Well, look. Mark, your story was super rough. I'm not going to lie. That's a rough one.
You have desperation in there. You have
idolatry.
Idolatry, hopes. You know, delusion. Mostly delusion.
Yeah. There's yes, trickery.
Yeah. The Hollywood gamut, they call it.
And then you got the switcheroo on you. You were you suddenly the trickster was on the wrong end of a moment.
And my comeuppance.
But look, I had a thing. I talked about Patti Smith. I'm not going to say it again. That's one of the worst moments of my life. That is one of the most – that is one of the lowest moments when I was on that elevator. Oh, I can feel that elevator now. I can feel it. If I'm closing my eyes, I can actually feel my skin warming up as I think about being on that elevator. I can feel – I feel – unsettled. That's how that is. It becomes, it go right back to the moment. Any moment like that, Dudio, where you were in front of a hero and you blew your cool?
No, I mean, there have been, like, Dan Aykroyd's a hero of mine, and I don't know if I've ever told you this story, Tom, but yeah, when Kristen was at SNL, we would go to the after parties, which were terrible. It's just you're going to a restaurant and paying for your own food, and it's like sitting at a fancy restaurant with everybody around you.
Yeah, that's called going to a restaurant.
Yeah.
You generally go
that's
and
all it
pay
is.
For what you order.
Yeah.
Except now you just have to make sure that Josh Gad doesn't set his coat on your meal.
Right. Which could have happened at any moment.
Yeah.
But we got to one of the restaurants early, and Dan Aykroyd was sitting there, and the person taking us to the table.
Don't tell me you did your Dr. Detroit impression.
It was so close.
Don't.
It's
please.
Such a good impression.
I hope you didn't.
But I was walking by him, and I looked at him, and he looked at me, and immediately, you know how if you order a bottle of champagne or something, they'll put it in a bucket and ice?
Sure.
Like one on like a stand. He looked at me and then looked at his bottle of champagne and then pulled it closer to him.
As if you were going to snake it?
Yeah, as if I was walking up to snake his champagne.
All right, that's weird. That's just a weird. Yeah. That's on him.
That's on him, but it still made me feel bad. Yeah. So.
Look, I never talk about these things, but I went to an SNL after party. The last time I ever went to one, I was sitting at a table with the cast member, ordered food, got up to go wash my hands, came back, and there was some sleazy hanger-on sitting in my chair trying to get time with the cast member, leaning over my food, like just like sucking up to the cast member with my food underneath his wildly flailing arms.
Every word he spoke was another like millimeter of his spit on your
on
fries.
My food, yes. Yeah. And I did not eat the food. And I never went back to another one of those things again. It's just like, you're over my food. Please don't, like, you don't see anything wrong with what you're doing here? Is that someone clearly is sitting here and you just said, this is my big chance. Oh, yeah, this guy's salmon burgers is the thing. I don't care. I got to pitch my movie. No, that was the end of that. Yeah, well, any calls, Dudio?
Yeah, we have some. Let's go to...
Put someone through.
Line one. You're on.
What that is?
Someone
in a wind tunnel? Who is this?
Sorry, this is Dan. How's it going?
Who is this?
One second. Sorry, give me one sec. Hey, Daniel.
Daniel.
Yeah, Daniel.
Daniel, you're here with me and Mark Proksch. What's up?
I'm very good. How are you guys?
Good. To what do I owe the pleasure of this call?
What do you owe the pleasure? I'm calling from Toronto in my lovely old basement apartment. I want to recommend, I think I listened to the best show last week and Tom was talking about doubles. And there's a very good doubles restaurant close to me, and I wanted to pass on that exciting advice.
What is it called?
It is
better not be your basement. I'm telling you right now. If you give me the address to your basement, and you say it's a doubles restaurant, oh boy.
Well, it's not too close. It's a place called La Limonada, and it's in the basement of a church just close to me. So it's like barely even a restaurant. Like, it's a little secret spot, but it's kind of...
Spell it for me.
L-A... Limonada, Limonada on College Street.
La Limonada.
La Limonada. Yeah.
Okay. For doubles.
For doubles. Do you have doubles?
No, what's doubles?
It's, is it Trinidadian food?
Yeah, it's like a Trinidadian food. So it's like
very
chickpea.
Good.
Really?
They're so good. What would you compare it to? Is it? Would you say it's a neighbor of like a samosa almost, caller?
Yeah, it's in within that world. It's in the samosa kind of
love that idea.
They're very good. They're so good. And that's my favorite thing up here are those. And we're trying to figure out where the best ones are, and this guy's saying,
I had the show last week, and I was like, this is, you guys need to check this place out. I just found it the other day. It's a very good one.
Well, we will go to, I'm not going to say whether we're going to go or not. I don't know. I still don't know if this is your House of Horrors. I'm going to go into crooked sign says doubles on it.
I was living in another basement apartment when I moved to Toronto, and I bought one of Mike's lovely headshots and tweeted it at him. And he said the place that I lived in looked like the guy. What was that film? What's the Boston film where the guy burns the house down?
The what film?
The film where the guy ends up burning his house down, where they're all from Boston. It's Casey Affleck. I tweeted a picture of my headshot of Mike at my breakfast bar, and he said that my breakfast bar looked worse than the place where the guy in Manchester by the Sea lived, which was the highlight of my 2017.
All right, well, look, we'll take it where we can get it. That was the highlight of your year, was Mike saying that your place was...
Bad year for you, you know.
Do you remember this guy, Mike?
He said no.
All right. Dump this. Thanks for the recommendation, but you're out. Oh, Mark, sweet Mark. What are we going to do? We're here in Toronto.
For a long haul. Many, many weeks.
Yes. And we got, I'm so tired. I'm so tired in me bones. I don't know what to do.
It's chilly here.
It is.
It's chilly.
Cold.
Gets into your bones.
It does. The chill. Maybe we'll go see a hockey game.
Oh, man.
You like hockey? No.
No, but I'll go.
Yeah, I don't like hockey that much either.
Is there basketball?
There is. There's the Toronto Raptors, who I do want to see.
We can go see a Raptors
Let's
game.
Let's go see a Raptors game, right?
Yeah.
I'd do that.
Sure.
I'll go see a Raptors game.
They don't have football, do they?
I believe they have a CFL team. Which,
okay.
So
no is the answer.
Don't. Yeah, we're not going to go see the Toronto Argonauts play
the Knots.
Montreal Alouettes, I believe it might be.
Knots Wets.
Yeah. We're going to go, a Knots Wets game. Yeah.
We'll just keep eating.
We'll get through it. I'll say this, Mark. You're one of the funniest guys ever.
Well, that's
just our Dudio. Any other calls?
Yeah, let's go to line number three.
Line three.
Line three, you're on.
Hey, is this Tom of the Best Show?
It is. To whom am I speaking?
Justin in Asheville, North Carolina.
Justin in Asheville.
Yes, sir.
What's going on in Asheville tonight? Asheville, I've not been to Asheville. Everybody loves it, though.
Yeah, it's not doing too much tonight, just rainy and kind of cold.
All right. Anything else?
Yeah, not much. Just hanging out, listening to
All right, dump this dude. Dump him. He's got nothing to say. Dump him.
Dumped.
Right?
Yeah, I mean, I like Asheville a lot. That one kind of let me down.
Do you know this clip that I'm playing? Do you know, what's his name? Harbaugh? Jim Harbaugh?
Yeah, I know
Football
Jim.
Conference?
Yeah.
Well, this is him at a press conference. I'll play the whole thing. Listen to this. This is what I want you to do. Just go, if you hear anything that troubles you.
Okay.
And you can, I'm just going to let it play straight through, but you can go,
I can interject.
Yeah, just okay. Make that sound. Here we go. We're
going, Brady. Go ahead. What's your question?
How much milk do I have to drink to be big enough to be quarterback?
Can I give you a hug? That is a great question. And I love that you're thinking about that. Drink as much milk as your little belly can hold. At all times, drink as much milk as your, could be chocolate milk. Could be the 2%, but the ideal is the whole milk. That's the ideal. As much as your little belly can hold.
I mean, he should have been like let out after that. Like they should have just been like, have this guy, like they find the real coach tied up in like a supply closet.
Who would talk to a child that way in any matter? Like be it a press conference or you're just walking down the street. You don't tell him to drink whole milk.
And to say milk also.
Yeah, milk.
Which is, that's a Midwest pronunciation.
No.
Now see, people have said it is, but you say it's not.
No, we said milk.
Yeah. Of course you did.
Oh, yeah.
It's got an I in it.
Yeah, there may be some city in the Midwest where he was born where they say milk and library and whatnot, yeah. But
drink as much milk
as your little tummy can hold.
Little belly.
It's
worse than tummy.
Which means he looked at his belly and saw that it was little and noted it in his mind and then said, drink as much as your little belly can hold.
And he wants them. Because, look.
Does he own cows? What is his angle?
think about this. When you've had milk, when you've had a lot of, say you've had as much milk, and I'm saying milk, not milk. When you've had as much as your stomach, I'm going to say stomach also, can hold. Have you ever felt like you were at your best? And this is you in a Wisconsin.
No, absolutely. I mean, you learn very early on you don't drink as much milk as your little belly can hold, unless you're, you know, breastfeeding.
Yeah, unless you're trying to grow.
Right.
Not when you're fully grown, a child does not. Oh, that kid. Like, have you ever just been like, go, 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 go? Oh, I'm ready now.
Yeah.
Now I'm ready to take on the world.
Let's go play football.
Wouldn't you just be like, oh, I got to lay down. Oh, I didn't even drink as much milk as my little belly can hold, and I don't feel so good.
And now I drink as much milk as my colon can hold, and now I'm, you know, dying as much as my toilet can hold.
Hey, coach. I was that kid who you told to drink all that milk, and doctor said I have about 2 weeks to go. I'm 20.
Sorry for the pauses between my voice, but I'm on this ventilator.
I'm completely offended. Just speaking.
Just sitting.
Just wanted to just ask you to please reconsider that milk recommendation you've been doling out to everybody. Didn't work for me, coach. You might want to think twice before you tell anybody else to do that.
I'm in bad shape, man.
This is not good. There's plenty of us out there, coach. Yeah.
Why'd you do this?
You got
Why'd
a lot
you
of
do
us.
This?
Yeah. You ruined a generation, coach. With the milk.
We all have milk cancer.
Oh,
why'd you do this?
Somebody said also Lolly Manada on Twitter.
Oh. Great. We have to check it out.
Trust everyone who's raving about this place. This is Yelp, and they don't mess around at Yelp.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm ready. Dudio?
Yes.
Any other calls?
We have two on hold right now, so let me go to...
Let's burn those two. Let's burn those two. No more new ones, and then I'm going to wrap it up here.
Okay, so line four.
I don't say shut it down because that was taking the commercial world, turned that into a phrase that just is no difference saying you threw up in your mouth a little bit or you...
Right.
Or there's a garbage fire or...
Shut the front door.
Yeah. It's like... That happened. That's not even a thing. So, okay.
Awkward moment.
Yeah. Awkward.
Line two.
Hi, welcome to the best show. To whom am I speaking?
Hi, this is Jonathan. How are you?
Good, Jonathan. You're here with me and Mark Proksh.
Hi, Mark. How you doing?
I'm well. How are you, Jonathan?
Yeah, I'm doing good. You enjoying Toronto?
Yeah, it's great. We're eating a lot and trying to catch up on sleep.
Okay. Yeah, I heard the pizza is not going over so well.
You did?
Where'd you hear that?
Yeah. Well, Tom was talking about how he doesn't like the pizza from Toronto.
I haven't had the pizza yet in Toronto.
Okay. I can make it. That doesn't define a city.
We had French food last night and it was delicious.
Yeah.
Okay, so, good. So no, what, glad so, to hear
what, what, what's, Jonathan, what can I do for you?
Well, I just thought I'd call in about the topic, talking about heroes.
Yeah. Well, tell me about your hero. Who is your hero? Or who is your hero? You can still have a hero.
I've seen a couple of my musical heroes this year. And one of them is coming up, and I wanted to recommend it to you as something to do.
Go ahead.
Are you interested? Yeah.
You're going to say this Sunday.
What's happening this Sunday?
I don't know. Go ahead. I'm seeing if I can guess what you're going to say. What hero are you talking of?
One of my favorite bands, Guided by Voices.
Yes. Okay. Sure.
You should come along.
I've seen them 1,001 times.
Well, you should come and see them with me. It'll be fun.
We'll see. I might see them and you'll be there also, but I'm not going to walk in with you because I can get myself in. You can get yourself in.
Well, we'd be there together, though.
Yes, of course.
What night are they playing?
The I believe it's the 25th, I think.
Ah.
Would you go, Mark? You should come.
I actually was on the concert committee in college that brought them to our little teeny Wisconsin college. So I'm a big fan.
I may go. Yeah.
It'll depend on work the next day.
Okay, sure. Yeah, I know you guys are busy.
So go ahead. So yeah, that's fun. What else? Who else, Jonathan? Any other heroes?
Music wise, or like in regards to
whatever crosses your mind, whatever that word brings to mind is the answer. There's no wrong answer.
Well, your friend Mike's kind of becoming a hero of mine.
There actually is a wrong answer. I take that back. There was one wrong answer.
And I said the one thing.
Yeah, you got it. That was kind of like when I named that guy's favorite Rolling Stones song. You just did the same thing with the one wrong answer for hero.
Okay, I got an open slot. Right,
Dump this dude. Dump him.
Dump.
Put that final call on.
Final call, line two, you're on.
Oh.
Hello.
How you doing?
Good. To whom am I speaking?
This is Steven from West Virginia. I need to turn my computer down. There we go.
Steven? Where are you calling from, Steven?
West Virginia.
Oh, studio country.
Yes.
It's exactly. Close.
There, right? Right?
Yes.
What food do you miss the wings back there back in home studio? The 10 flavors.
We had 9 for years, and then when we got that 10th. Oh man!
Remember that the word was coming. That 10th flavor is coming to town.
The government released that 10th flavor.
We finally got breaded.
Here it comes. I heard they got breaded. Wings are coming. Next train. Next train. And then it comes rolling through. Everybody's at the station. Just waiting for the breaded wings to come off the train.
Buffalo Wild.
Go back to West Virginia.
Okay.
Who's your hero in West Virginia?
In West Virginia? Oh, easy. Chuck Yeager.
Yeah. Okay. That's a good one.
Broke the sound barrier, and he's still alive.
Yeah, guy couldn't get the whole thing done, but sure.
He keeps breaking the sound barrier.
Yeah.
Over and over.
Look.
Yep.
And then I got to say, this movie, First Man, I don't even know who's seeing this thing. Is it some giant mystery what happens on this thing? Is it a spoiler to say that they land on the moon and he makes it back home? Is that considered a spoiler now? Because it's like the trailer, it's just kind of like, he's like, this, what if it blows up? What if the thing blows up and you don't make it home? I'm worried you're not going to make it home. Yeah, I think I can feel this one. He makes it home. It's like those movies where it's like, there was that dumb one a few years ago where it's like, the one where they're trying to make Mary Poppins. What was the one where it's like,
oh, yeah.
The Disney one is like, were they going to get to make Mary Poppins as a movie? Yeah, they did. I can head this one off.
It's for long-term amnesiacs.
To just get to see a thing they know that they knew and have forgotten. Yeah, like these historical things. Lincoln. Oh, geez, what happens with this one? Yeah. He dies.
He gets shot.
And the other thing is, none of these people are alive anymore. None of them are. It's 150 years ago. None of them make it. Yeah. First Man. You know what that seems like to me? First Man is, that seems like one of those ones you go in the theater, you're like, boy, there is no one in here. Like one of those ones where you're just like, when you go to the theater and you're just like, oh boy, I wonder where we're going to sit. Oh, anywhere. Okay. There's three people in the theater. We have our pick of this place. Yeah. Like, isn't it 7 o'clock? Yeah. Nobody's seeing First Man. So Chuck Yeager's your hero. So you like the right stuff.
In West Virginia. I thought you meant
West Virginia. Okay. Then how about just the beyond West Virginia? Who's your hero?
Growing up, I was a big Ace Frehley fan, but that kind of led me into other
stuff.
Yeah, like the Strokes and whatnot.
Ace Frehley.
Jeff Bookaboom from the Rangers a lot.
Of course, hockey superstar Jeff Bookaboom.
Yeah, I had a dog named Bookaboom, and he was a cool player with Brian Leach and that whole thing. Simply the best, mm-hmm. Tina Turner.
Okay, all right. Those are good.
Yeah. He got the Crumb Bum.
The what?
The Crumb Bum Award. It was some sort of a charity thing that he did with the kids, local kids in New York City.
And why is it called the Crumb Bum Award?
Because he is known as kind of a bruiser guy. He got a lot of... Mm-hmm. Well, it's not. They didn't name it after him.
Mm-hmm. This Dennis Hoff, though, where does he rank on your list of heroes?
Who?
Dennis Hoff, the owner of the brothel that was in extended business with the Home Box Office.
Okay. He's probably up there with Ted Turner. You know, those eccentric media guys.
Sure, yes, just those colorful characters
they're just
that we all can't get enough of, right? Yeah, Mr. Megorium.
They
showrunners. Carl Reiner, Peter Marshall,
Gary
Marshall.
Dennis Hoff. Yeah.
People that, you know, created shows.
The best thing would be is if Dennis Hoff had kept, like if he started developing. You know this, though.
Oh, yeah.
Mark Proksh. I will guarantee he pitched his thing around as a sitcom.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
it's
absolutely.
Funny. I mean, this place is funny.
It's a family.
You got to understand. Sure, it's Come a cat on. House, of course. But it's like a family. We're a family in there.
Yeah.
And the things that go on.
Yeah, sure, I prey on the desperate, but who doesn't nowadays? You go into McDonald's, they're preying on the desperate.
What? It's a pass. They passed?
How dare you?
Hulu passed? What about Crackle? No? Crackle didn't get back to us? All right. What about Home and Garden? HGTV? Any word? They're interested. They want us to get a mini room going? Great news, Dennis. Yeah. HGTV is going to commission a mini room for your brothel sitcom.
Okay, who should we have? Ron Jeremy, of course.
Oh, no.
Start stocking the room. I just read Sheriff Joe's spec. It's pretty good. Yeah, he's good with characters. He's great with dialogue.
Arpaio's Mayo, where he runs a mayo company. It's a bit thin, but it works for him.
I think in like the 90s, HBO had the weirdest, like sleaziest title bumpers between their programs.
Like what?
Like whenever they would do that smoke alarm thing or like the hidden camera, it always kind of had like a eerie late at night tone to me. Like I should be depressed while I watch it.
Yeah.
Like those lights that flicker.
Yeah, that weird tinkling piano.
Yeah, it's unsettling.
Yeah. Yeah. Nothing's weirder than the FX voice, the ones when it's just like, next on Louie. Like they got like a rough dude to do that one.
Yay. He's your friend from Chicago.
Tonight on Louie.
A person you would absolutely detest at a cocktail party. You would.
Louie or the voice of the guy?
A little from column A, a little from column B on that one.
Yeah. He, and then that guy's like, wait, what did Louie do? Oh no. I'm not going to do this. Job's over.
Oh boy. Louie did it again.
I'm not doing that voice no more.
Louie's sick of himself when it comes to dating again.
Yeah, dating. Guy. Launch him into space. Dude. Right? Right, caller?
Yes, right.
Thank you. All right, dump this dude. We're done.
Oh, no.
Dumped.
All right, Dudia. I thank you for tonight.
Of course, thank it was you. Fun.
Of course, it was fun. I thank you, Mike. Of course, Mike.
Mike said you're welcome.
Okay. Again, Mike, Dennis will always be there with us. Wherever there is a one of those three packs of magazines that you
the fun pack.
See at the what's that? A fun
pack. Yeah.
Wherever there's a sealed fun pack, Mike. Uh-huh. Or wherever there's someone hurting someone else, uh-huh. Dennis is there a little bit.
Yeah. And you know who he's survived by?
Who?
His girlfriend. Heidi Fleiss.
Oh, there you go.
Oh, that's cool.
She'll carry the flame, I'm sure.
Yeah. All right. And I can't. Even I can't do this anymore. Even I can't talk about this guy anymore. All right. And Mark Proksh, I thank you.
Thank you, Tom.
One of my favorites.
And thanks, guys.
Great having you, Mark.
We will hear more from you as we are both isolated. And I say to everybody, well, let's play On the Way Out. Let's play that effed up song.
Okay.
If we could. It's from their album, which is called Dose Your Dreams, and it's on Merge. And I'm maybe see them up here in a few days. I don't know if I'll get to. I hope so. We'll see. But the album's great. The band is great. And, yeah. And then the best show will be back next week because we are great. Right? Play the song, and I'm going to say goodnight to everybody. Thank you so much for listening. I'll talk to you soon.
Oh, there we go.
Oh, what am I supposed to do? Oh. Apologize to everybody. No, apologize.
I am sorry. Simulation.